is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked.
It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down.
What a big play there. Boy, cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hey, welcome to the show. Donald Jones, John Murphy. Donald, this is the life we have chosen to come in here on weekdays from noon to 3, talking about the Bills in the NFL.
When there's nothing really going on.
When there's not a whole lot going on. Not nothing. There, you know, we're approaching a couple of significant dates, but where would you rather be? You know, what would you rather be doing?
I think I'm good with this.
Yeah, me too.
I think I'm good with this. I'm not complaining. But yesterday there were some things that happened throughout the NFL yesterday in terms of the franchise that we can talk about.
We're approaching the draft. We are a week away from our first broadcast at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And let me at the outset, Donald, say to you and to our audience that I'm full in on the draft now.
Okay.
I dove in last week a little bit, dipped my toe in the water, started looking at quarterbacks, spent 2.5 hours. Looking at quarterbacks last night.
Was the water cold or hot?
Oh, it's
or
nice.
Lukewarm?
It's interesting. The water is interesting. The quarterback water is interesting. I spent last night looking at extensive video of Sam Darnold at USC and Josh Allen at Wyoming. Last week I took a long look at Josh Rosen out at UCLA. I got more guys to look at, obviously. Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, some of the other ones. But, you know, you start to form opinions watching video online, not just highlight throws. You know, you watch every play that they make in these games, and you get a pretty good sense of who these people are and what they might be all about. I like it.
I know quarterback in this league is everything.
Yes.
I know that, and I know people here. I'm sick and tired of not having a franchise quarterback. We haven't had one since Jim Kelly, yada, yada, yada. We've heard it over and over here on the show. But I feel like there are other positions that this team needs.
Yes.
You know, you can draft the quarterback, but you still need wide receiver help. You still need – let's just say backup running back help. You still need help on the defense,
front
right?
Front seven defensively.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, okay, the quarterback position is huge, and, yeah, you need to have one because that can really change the outlook of your team. It can. But at the same time, there are a lot of other prospects in this draft that I don't even think we even pay attention to at all.
Right.
I haven't heard anybody say anything about the receivers. I haven't heard anybody say anything about D-line, running backs, none of those positions in which we all know that this team needs as well as a quarterback.
Well, let's make a pact, you and I. Before we get to the Combine next week, and we'll be there broadcasting live from the Combine starting a week from today, let's kind of expand our horizon a little bit because the Combine is about more than quarterbacks. Quarterback is front and center for just about everybody, but it's about more than that. So let's make a deal. Let's start to look a little bit deeper into this draft by the time we get to the Combine next week.
Yeah, so we know some other
Shake
guys.
On it, man.
Let's go. Boom.
Okay. Next week, Combine. Our broadcast coverage starts on Wednesday, noon to 3 Wednesday, noon to 3 Tuesday, noon to 3, excuse me, on Friday from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. You were there last year, your second time, once as a participant, once as a broadcaster with us.
Yeah, and it's totally different on both sides of the table there.
And it's grown a lot since you were a participant, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, you know, when I was a participant, you had media row, you had the podium and everything was in the stadium.
Uh-huh.
Now it's switched over where we're all in a convention center, and then the players are over there in the stadium. They come over. When they come over, everybody flocks to the players and the coaches and GMs when they all get to the podium. But it's really growing every year. And I think in the one thing that I do love, I loved it as a player, and I like it now, I think Indianapolis does a very good job at hosting this thing. And it would be really bad for the city, or it would hurt the city if they don't have it anymore because they're building this new shiny stadium out in Los Angeles or Vegas today. And we know that could be on the table in terms of talks about if we might as well move everything to L.A., the draft, the combine, everything. It's warm. You know, you know that they have good hospitals there. They could probably handle it. But I think Indy does a very good job at hosting.
I do, too. And I like the city, and I like the hospitality, and I like the central location. I think most people feel pretty good about Indy. We are there next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We've got a couple of shows on Monday and Tuesday next week, and then off to the combine next week. The combine, which precedes the draft is at the end of April. We are now 3 weeks from today away from the start of free agency. The new NFL year starts March 14th, 3 weeks from today, the legal tampering period before free agency, a couple of days before that. And that leads us to our topic of the day, at least where we're going to start the day, and our Twitter poll today. So you got the draft, you got the free agency. The Bills are going to have to employ both of those tools in order to get better this year, right? We know they have some serious needs, and we'll go through, by the way, we'll go through tight ends and wide receivers, what they have, what they need today, a little bit later on in the show. Mm-hmm. But how do they get better is the central question of the offseason, and how do they plan to get better? We want to look at it from the standpoint of the free agency coming up first. Free agency opens March 14th. Our Twitter poll, what need, and we've kind of cataloged the various needs the Bills have. Donald went through it a minute ago. What need should the Bills address in free agency rather than in the draft this year? That's our Twitter poll. What do you think? It's been up for about 45 minutes or so. We got good response, 1,700 votes in so far. What need should the Bills address in free agency rather than in the draft? 38% of you say quarterback, which is interesting. We'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. 35% of you say front seven help on defense. We'll get back to that. 23% say wide receiver. 4% say something else. But more than a third of you, 38% of you, say the Bills should address quarterback in free agency. Now, look, we know quarterback is critical for the Bills. We know that. We acknowledge that. But is that really is there a free agent quarterback that you have your eye on that you think would be the answer, long-term answer for the Bills? Is that what they're saying when you vote yes for a quarterback is the top need?
I think people look at –
who are we looking at?
I think people look – and I think there's only one person that you could say, well, yeah, that guy could be a franchise quarterback for you, at least for the next 5 to 7 years, and that would be Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
That's the only one. Could be.
Yeah.
Could be Kirk Cousins. That's the only one. And for me, he still has a lot of questions that need to be answered. I mean, the guy has produced, but at the same time, he hasn't won big games for the Redskins. They haven't put much talent around him, but I get that. But, you know, I think that's the one person. I think people are looking at it. If you're saying that you'd rather them address the quarterback position than the draft, then you're saying that you could get one of those guys to be your franchise quarterback moving forward.
I mean, what are the Bills looking for at quarterback? Are they looking for a stopgap answer? Are they looking for a guy to come in and, go from a 9-win team to a 13-win team next year, 12-win team next year? Is that even feasible? I don't know that it is with all their other needs. Or aren't they really looking – aren't we – when we talk about the Bills' need a quarterback, aren't we really talking about a franchise, a bona fide franchise quarterback, a guy who can come in here, start, maybe not right away, but eventually start and be the guy for a decade? Isn't that kind of the solution?
Who
among that free agent class of quarterbacks is that guy? I mean, Drew Brees, technically still a free agent now. We don't anticipate he'll hit the market. But he's not going to be around very long as a player. Kirk Cousins, is he that guy? I don't know. The Minnesota trio, one of those quarterbacks. Bradford, Keenum, Bridgewater. You see any of those guys, the guys who can come in here and be a Bills franchise quarterback? I wouldn't think so. Josh McCown, no. Matt Moore, no. Chase Daniel, come on. There's nobody. Even A.J. McCarron, who's got, 5 NFL games. If you're looking to solve the Bills quarterback problem through free agency, I think you're being foolish because there's not a name on that list who would solve it. Kirk Cousins, the closest thing. Kirk Cousins has had mixed success in Washington. Not great success, mixed success. But to think, first of all, he's going to cost an arm and a leg to get. So if you're looking for the Bills to solve their quarterback problem in free agency, I think you're being foolish, Donald. I have to say that. I think what you're really looking for the Bills, what you really want is the solution as the franchise quarterback, which to me indicates the draft.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you there.
But where's the 38% of people say, where are they coming from? I don't get that.
I don't get that. And we put rather in there. You can't say we worded this thing wrong because we put that in there so you understand what we're trying to say here. I think when you talk about free agent quarterbacks, you're looking for a guy that can come in here and start for you right away and win you some games until the draft pick, because I feel like if you're getting one in free agency, you still need to draft one fairly high in this draft, and that kid is your franchise quarterback moving forward. But he needs some time to develop into being the franchise quarterback. He needs some time to learn in this system, in a pro-style offense, learn how to be a pro and be a quarterback in this league. You know, and the crazy thing is, especially here in Buffalo, you could bring in one of these free agent quarterbacks. The draft pick is probably still going to be the most popular guy here in Buffalo, unless that free agent is just lighting it up. Well, you don't expect that to happen. You know, it could happen. But the kid who gets drafted is still going to be the most popular guy here in Buffalo. And you know, if the bridge quarterback is not playing well, everybody's going to be calling for the draft pick. So that kid needs to learn how to even handle that stuff. And so the kid needs to learn how to be a pro. Let's just say that, a franchise quarterback. And so you're looking for a bridge quarterback until that kid develops into that franchise quarterback. So for me, no, I wouldn't say I'd rather you address that. The quarterback position in free agency. I think you should address the quarterback position in free agency and the draft.
Yeah, but don't look for the long-term answer as a franchise quarterback in free agency.
Not at all.
Not for the Buffalo Bills. I think Kirk Cousins clearly is going to be the guy who's going to get the big contract, be the big free agent signing, no question about that. But I think the team that gets Kirk Cousins is going to be somebody like the Denver Broncos. I mean, yep. I'll be honest, I think the Jets are foolish if they spend that kind of money on Kirk Cousins, looking at what, a guy who can be an effective starter for 6, 7, 8 years tops, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Is he going to play till he's 45 years old? Not likely. But for the Broncos, yeah, with that defense, that makes sense. For the Bills, I don't think it makes sense. You know, unless you're ready to contend right away, I don't think it makes sense to break the bank to get Kirk Cousins, and you're going to have to break the bank to get Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah.
So the need the Bills should address in free agency instead of the draft, if you're prioritizing, like we believe the Bills brain trust is right now, like here's what we need. You've got to believe they have a list by now, Donald, of their needs personnel-wise. Here's who's available in the draft. Here's who's available in free agency. What should the Bills address in free agency rather than the draft? And 38% of you say quarterback. I disagree with that.
I disagree.
The 35% of you who've responded early and say defensive front seven, yeah.
I agree.
That's where I'm at.
I agree with that. Because you know this team's makeup on offense and defense. Yeah, this team has traditionally been, or at least the last couple of years, been run first. They need to get better at passing. We all know that. But at the end of the day, if you have a top defense, then you can win some games in this league, and that can really carry you into the playoffs. And if you have a top defensive front, that is very important. We already know what we have on the back end of this defense. You just got to plug a hole on the other side. They need to get better up front. One of their key guys is a free agent. Not sure if he's going to be back here. So linebacker and front defensive line, that is where you really need to address in free agency, because you know that these guys have played in the league. You've seen them actually play in the league. When you draft a kid, the kid looks so raw. I mean, not raw. The kid looks so good coming out of college, but you don't know if that skill set is going to translate over to this level. So even if you draft one, you still need to address that in free agency and probably pay those guys, you know, the linebacker, the defensive line, defensive end, defensive tackle, some guys that you know can really wreak some havoc on a quarterback and stuff to run.
You know, a couple of days ago, I guess it was last week on the show, and we were talking about this issue when we talked about, you know, getting better at defensive front. And I mentioned Ziggy Ansah, mm-hmm. who I hold in extreme high regard. Now, he's a guy who's going to be a free agent. At least it appears right now he's going to be a free agent. But when you look at the numbers projected for Ziggy Ansah, you know, somebody's going to pay way too much for Ziggy Ansah. I don't see the Bills being that type of team. Do you? I don't think they're going to be the type. I don't think when they address these issues, front seven issues, I don't know that it's necessarily going to have to be a big splash signing, you know, and I think Ziggy Ansah is going to demand a pretty good amount of money.
Yeah.
I'm looking at SpotTrax market value for Ziggy Ansah coming off. He's 28 12. Years old. Yeah, coming off his season with the Detroit Lions last year, and a projected value $13.2 million.
$13 million.
That's
a year.
Really right back to Marcell Dareus mm-hmm. category there. You know, that's too much. I don't think that's the kind of answer the Bills need.
And this is not a knock on Marcell. Marcell and our good friends, we talk. But you're talking about a different personality. I believe in Ziggy Ansah. So it's not like you'd have to worry about his production if he gets paid. I think he will still produce for you. But at the end of the day, I just look at last year, what they did. Even though Brandon Bean wasn't here, we don't know their mindset. They could break the bank open and try to get one of these guys. But I just look at free agency last year and how they approached that thing. They paid some guys. They paid Hauschka a good amount of money for a kicker. They paid Micah Hyde a good amount of money for a safety. But it wasn't like they were breaking the bank open, trying to go after these day one, let's quote-unquote, tier one free agents. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to take the same approach this year because they don't have – right now they don't have that much money to play with to give a guy like Ziggy Ansah $13 million a year. It might – be different once we get to free agent day, and they might cut some guys to create more money. Obviously, you got to figure out what's going on with Tyrod Taylor. His money might not be there, or it might be there. But I just don't see them breaking the bank open to get one of these guys. I think they're going to try to get some guys that have shown that they can really play in this league, but they don't have to pay top dollar to get. And
right.
I think that's what they're going to do, just like a Micah Hyde. And people say, well, man, hey, Micah Hyde got paid. He got paid, but he produced. He really, really produced, you know. And Jordan Poyer, they got Jordan Poyer. He's making, what, $2.5 million, $3 million a year. And he produced. He outproduced this year for what he's making. So I think they're looking for guys like that. I just don't see them trying to go after tier one, day one free agents.
Let us know what you think. If you were the Bills, what needs would you rather address in free agency as opposed to the draft? A couple of things to consider. The cost, obviously, is number one. We've been talking about that. The available pool of players. You know, who's out there? Where's the talent? Is there more talent, maybe affordable talent in free agency than the promise that you might get from a young player? Star Lotulelei from Carolina is scheduled to hit the open market.
He's going
to
get paid.
He's going to get paid a ton.
He's going to get paid.
Very capable inside guy. SpotTrac has him as an estimated average annual salary coming up at $8.4
million.
Mm-hmm.
You might – I mean, if you can –
It's a lot.
First of all, I think up the middle, you got to figure out what's going on with Kyle Williams.
Yep.
And if he's coming back, how much is he going to get paid? Is he on a one-year deal? Is he on a two-year deal to try to spread it out a little bit?
But even then, Kyle is not a long-term answer at this point.
No, he's not a long-term answer. But at least for this year in free agency and the money that you have to play with, you got to figure out what's going on there. And then a guy like Star Lotulelei, he's going to – if you're going to pay him, that's his projected value. Teams are going to offer him probably more than that. He might get $9 million a year, $10 million, because he's been very productive for the Panthers down there. So he's a guy who I think will produce for you. I don't know if they want to get into that. It's so hard to read if they want to really get into paying these guys big money like that or not.
Yeah, they need bodies up front, front seven.
Definitely
linebackers and defensive linemen.
And he would be a guy who can come in here with him and Kyle. They could really wreak some havoc on any quarterback, you know, and they could really free things up for a Jerry Hughes and a Shaq on the outside. You got to see how much money he really is commanding out there in the open market, though.
You know who I find intriguing, Donald? A former Carolina Panther, so he would have some background with Sean McDermott. And last year he bounced around a little bit, from the Patriots to the Jets. Coney Ealy, pretty mm-hmm. good pass rusher, made $800,000 last year with the New York Jets. So you would think he's going to be affordable. He is an unrestricted free agent. Never finished his four-year initial contract with Carolina, and that was his rookie deal, so he wasn't making a ton of money. I think as a situational defensive end, Coney Ealy intrigues me a little bit, former second-round pick out of Missouri. I think he's a guy who can get after the passer, can hold the edge a little bit, and is not going to cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested in Coney Ealy if I were the Buffalo Bills.
I mean,
agency.
You're talking about a guy who's making $800,000 to now you can satisfy him with maybe $3
million
or something.
Yeah, a couple of million, two to three million.
And he'll come. And you have that familiarity. Once again, that relationship with Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean from Carolina is big. So they could really talk him into taking $2.5-3 million, unless there's another team that's offering them 5-6 or something like that. Then it's tough to do, but yeah, you'd think that they'd be able to talk him into it.
He's only 26. He could play for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Just an idea. Just a name out there. What do you think needs the Bills should address in free agency as opposed to the draft? Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Here's a call from Ray in Clarence, New York. Go ahead, Ray. You're on the air with us.
You know, guys, with the five picks in the first three rounds, I always look at it as it's got to be four starters. And the reason why I say that is I don't agree in spending so much money on the free agent quarterback. But at the same time, I don't want to break the bank because we have all these draft picks on a college quarterback. My opinion is why not let the dust settle? Why not have Taylor play one more year, even though I'm kind of against it? But all these other teams that are going to fight and give up so much to get who they want, you know, so when the dust settles, we go into next year, after going into the 2019 season, looking for our quarterback. I don't even know who's out there, but there's just it's going to be too much fighting going on. We have too much going on where we have a lot of dead cap space this year where we need those rookie starters, you know, that are cheap,
yeah,
to fill those voids until the Marcel and maybe Eric Wood and maybe Cordy, you know, if there's going to be some dead cap space if we – you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Holes, and they've done a good job last year with their picks.
And Ray, I know what you mean. In fact, we just had this discussion in our office an hour ago. Remember when we were talking about Donald? I'm sorry to keep coughing, Donald. We were talking about potential, Twitter poll topics, and I came up with one, which I think we'll eventually get to. Mm-hmm. But what would you rather do with this draft for the Bills this year? Would you rather go big with those five picks and get the quarterback that everybody's dying to get, or would you rather be patient, wait a little bit, and fill your other needs? I think that's kind of the central issue that Ray and Clarence is talking about. And I don't know about the Tyrod Taylor part yet, but he's talking about get your good players, four starters out of the first five picks, mm-hmm, get them under contract on their rookie deal so you can afford them, and then move on and find your quarterback, you know, your real true quarterback the following year. That might be a tough pill for some Bills fans to swallow, but it might be the smartest thing to do.
I think it's the smartest thing to do, and I believe – that just from the track record of McDermott and Brandon Bean, yeah, they made some bold moves. I hear the rumors and all of that stuff, but they go into this thing with a big picture outlook on everything. And I think the big picture outlook, especially when you hear Brandon Bean say it's tough to move up that far. Back at the Senior Bowl when he said that, when he was being interviewed, it's tough to move up that far. You got to give up a lot to get up that far to get one of these guys. I think they're looking at this thing saying, we'll probably have there'll be a few quarterbacks that are good enough that we can develop sitting there when we're going to draft at 2021 or 21-22. There are going to be some guys that are sitting there. Do you want to draft them there, or do you want to just wait until you get into the second round? Now, for me, that gets a little dicey when you talk about wait until you get into the second round, because you do have teams in the back half of that first round, like the Patriots, like the Steelers, that could draft the kid with the thought process that they can develop that kid to be the heir apparent to their quarterbacks, right? So I think sitting at 21-22, if you feel like you like a guy, you should take him right there, or maybe even trade back a couple of spots, you know, but still try to be ahead of those teams and take a quarterback at that point. But I don't think you should trade everything away to try to get up.
I don't think so either. And I know I get it. You know, there's some big-name quarterbacks in this draft, and as I said, I'm starting to do my homework on them, looking at Darnold, looking at Josh Allen, looking at Rosen. I don't see somebody there, at least the best I've seen, and I've got more guys to look at, but the best I've seen at least impresses me is Sam Darnold, USC. Now, does he merit trading that great draft class that you have to move up, where you're going to have to move up into the top five at least, maybe the top two to get him? I don't think he does. I don't think he does. And to give up all of those other players, like the caller and Clarence just said, all of those other chances at players, low-cost rookies who are going to be contributors, hopefully starters, sooner rather than later, in order to move up to get a questionable potential free agent quarterback,
right.
I'd have a problem with that. I really would.
I think I'd have a problem with it, too. And I know a lot of people are like, no, I'm tired of this. We haven't had one in so long. Trade everything away and get your franchise quarterback. Well, if you trade everything away to get that kid, and that kid never develops into a franchise quarterback, then what? You're going to look back at this drive and say, you guys traded up and traded everything away, and you took this kid. I can't believe you took that kid. And then you're still wrong, you know? Right. So I feel like you need to build your entire roster out. And I feel like teams will look at this thing and look at teams like the Eagles, look at teams like the Vikings, Liz. We know it's a copycat league, and say, we need to just build out the rest of this roster. We can get into the playoffs. Look at the Bills. You can get into the playoffs if you have a solid defense, if you have a solid running game, and you have maybe a young quarterback that you're still trying to develop.
They got into the playoffs with the 31st ranked passing attack in the NFL.
Exactly. So, I mean, you even when they went to the Super Bowl, Brandon Bean and Coach McDermott, even when they went to the Super Bowl, Cam Newton had played like an MVP that year. He made a lot of big-time throws. But their running game, including Cam Newton, was a big part of that offense, you know, and their defense was crazy that year.
Yeah.
And so I think that they look at it that way. No, we're not going to trade everything away to try to get one of these kids. You don't even know if he's going to be that good. We're going to build out this entire roster with some D-line help, some linebacker help, some wide receiver help to really help these young quarterbacks, or a bridge quarterback that might be starting next year.
What are they going to do? We don't know, but we're trying to think along with the Bills decision makers as we approach the draft, we approach the combine next week and free agency 3 weeks away. and we want to hear your strategy. Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Here comes free agency first, 3 weeks away, March 14th. And should the, are there needs the Bills have? We know they have a long list of needs. Are there needs that they should focus on in free agency as opposed to the draft? That's the question on the table. Maybe it's a big playmaking wide receiver. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what the Bills have at wide receiver, what they need at wide receiver, and who might be out there in free agency when we return. We'd love to hear your thoughts, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Show's just getting underway from One Bills Drive. It is the John Murphy Show with Donald Jones. We're coming to you. Excuse me, Donald. Are you sick of me coughing yet?
No.
We're coming to you live from Cloudy Orchard Park, New York on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Deep offseason. That's where we're at, right? Don't you feel it, Donald? We are deep into the offseason right now. Deep.
I mean, once you really get into free agent and draft talk here, you're into this thing.
We're into it. We're talking about free agency today. And are there position groups that you think the Bills should address in free agency as opposed to the draft? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Tom calling from Cheektowaga. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just calling regarding the subject you're talking about is what to fill in the needs with free agency. And I think quarterback is one, if with the guys that are available, if they could get somebody reasonably. I think we need somebody better than Tyrod Taylor. I mean, we kind of backed into the playoffs, and you talk about how you can win with a defense, but unless your defense can score points, your situation sometimes, you know, you put them in a situation, no matter how good your defense is, the other team can kick some enough field goals. You know, if your offense can't score, you're going to lose, and we lost games that way. And I'm thinking, I mean, possibly somebody like Case Keenum or even A.J. McCarron could be a guy if you could get him reasonably. Case Keenum certainly showed what he can do with a team that's halfway decent. I mean, he was able to dance around in the pocket and avoid things and make things happen. And perhaps A.J. McCarron can do that. And as far as, have somebody there who's a little better, good enough to get you a little farther while you develop someone in the draft. And heard that the Bills were looking at somebody, I think his name is Riley Ferguson from Memphis, who beat Josh Rosen and UCLA in their bowl game. And there's also a guy by the name of Quinton Flowers from South Florida, who was a dual threat. He was a quarterback, and he led his team in rushing, too, I think with like 3,500-some yards over two seasons. Could be like a replacement for LeSean McCoy, a quarterback, maybe even like a wildcat threat too.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you'd probably just draft Lamar Jackson right there in the first round. But yeah. I think
I mean, these are guys you might get, probably could get later, like in the second round. Mm-hmm. Like you see, guys that maybe not all of the other teams are looking at. You're talking about a lot of these other top guys that may be gone, and we may not be able to get them. So.
Yeah, let me get you back to the free agents, and you talked about Case Keenum and I hear you. I think you're saying you don't look at Case Keenum as a potential, long-term answer, right? A stopgap free agent signing, because SpotTrack has his estimated market value at $21 million a year.
I'm looking at him. I mean, if you could get him and he can get you into the playoffs, and then you can get him reasonably for 2-3 years. I mean,
at $21 million a year.
If that's what he's going to get, I don't know. Yeah. I don't have the numbers you have as far as what they're projecting.
Yeah, that's what SpotTrack's projection is, which is, it's a projection, but just seems like a lot. And I don't know I don't think McCarron would command that kind of money, do you, with his limited experience?
No.
But he'll be sought after.
Oh, he'll be sought after. I don't think he'll command that type of money. I think he'll get something like 15, 16.
Phew.
But I think Case Keenum, it's really just the market. But Case Keenum is a guy who is interesting. I think they end up, they didn't do it yesterday, but I think at some point they'll franchise Case Keenum. Yeah. Just to keep him for another year and prove it to us. If you can prove it that you can play like you did last year and get us back to the playoffs and we have another season like that, then we'll pay you long term. I just don't see them really allowing him to get out of Minnesota.
I mean, I don't see Kirk Cousins – I mean, I think the Redskins franchised him twice for a reason. I mean, they're waiting for him to show them something, and I mean, he did well enough, but they didn't even make the playoffs. So.
Right. And the other thing, Tom, on your draft picks, and I hear what you're saying, and you looked, you it seems like you have looked down the line at what, mid round quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Are those going to be the answer though for the Bills quarterback? I mean, what are we talking about?
I think very well. Tom Brady was a sixth round pick.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, you know, that's a you're taking a flyer. They have Nathan Peterman, a fifth round pick. Well, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
now you're going to have a couple of fifth, sixth round quarterbacks on your roster along with a veteran free agent. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who else is offered. I mean, because you start talking about the money and the free agents and what these people are projected to be worth, and what the Bills have available on their cap. So. You got to be realistic.
Yeah, I know.
If you can get somebody or not, well, then you know you got to look at what you can get. And
right.
I mean, over the past few years, what we've got right now, I haven't seen where he's proven that he can really take us where we need to go.
No, I agree. I'm not advocating Tyrod. I have a feeling it's not going to be Tyrod here. We've talked about that since November 19th last year. But Tyrod probably not figuring in their long term plans. I think what Tom's point, I don't want to put words in his mouth, Donald, but look, the Bills are in a unique position here with all of these draft picks in a year where there's a healthy crop of free agent quarterbacks and what appears to be an interesting crop of draftable quarterback prospects. Tom presents it like, you know, you're going to have to settle. Maybe. I think you're going to have to be creative. And I can't wait to see what they wind up doing. And you know, I have a pretty good sense and a pretty good feeling that this group, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, the new scouting group that's upstairs around the corner here, a pretty good sense that they've handicapped this out, know what strategy they'd like to pursue, but they can't do everything they want to do because there are several other – I mean, they're quarterbacks. Everybody's interested in quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, and there are a lot of teams that are interested in quarterbacks that truly, truly need quarterbacks. And then there are other teams that might be interested – because their quarterback, who's been a franchise quarterback, is about to retire here in the next couple of years. That might end up taking him, right? So, I mean, we're really going to get into – the next couple of months, they're going to be just all quarterback talk.
Yeah.
And
are you ready for that?
No. I'm not.
Get ready.
But, I'm looking now at a couple of guys, right? And you look at guys that might be still sitting there.
In the draft.
In the draft at 21, 22. Mason Rudolph might still be sitting there. I would think Luke Falk from Washington State, the quarterback, will still be sitting there. He's a kid who's, what, 6'3",
mm-hmm.
I guess, close to prototypical. The kid out of Richmond will probably still be sitting there. Mike White from Western Kentucky.
The kid out of Richmond had the good week at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he had the good week at the Senior Bowl. Mike White, his name is Kyle Willetta. Mike White from Western Kentucky had a good game,
yep.
At least. And I remember people talking about him throughout that week. So those will be guys that will still be sitting there.
They could be there in the second round.
And they will be in their second round, right? Yeah. So, I mean, the Bills could look at it and say, well, we like this kid, watching him at the Senior Bowl. When you look back at the tape, we can get this kid in the second round. We might as well go ahead and just take him in the second round. And people say, well, no, you got to trade up. Look, Jimmy Garoppolo is a second round pick.
Yeah.
And look at him now. People feel like he's going to be the next best thing since sliced bread out there in San Francisco. You know, you can find one of these guys in the second round, maybe even the third round, or even later in the draft. And these kids, these guys might not have as much hype as the top guys, but they might be good. And I think the Bills will look at this thing big picture and say we're not – and this is just my projection, my guess – and say, we're not going to trade everything away to get one of those guys. We might as well sit here or draft one in the second round. They could even trade back and get more draft picks to try to get one of these kids.
Here's a call from Buzz in Buffalo. Go ahead, Buzz. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Hi, Don. How are you guys doing?
Great. What Thank you.
Hey, when we're talking about the decision to spend the draft capital to get a QB this year or fill in a bunch of other holes and just get our a QB next year, now, I haven't looked at the free agent class that's coming out next year, but I'll tell you this. The college kids, the QB class coming out in 2019 is not good. And that's something I haven't heard anyone talk about. Like, who are you going to get next year? The top-rated quarterback is only the 10th-rated prospect. But from a couple of articles I've seen, it's just a really bad class. It's a guy from Michigan who's who does have all the tools, but he's been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, there's a huge fall. So the next year's quarterback class looks awful. So you got to consider that. And you know Bean is considering that. You know they're looking at it. So you got to take a shot this year. Unless, I didn't look at the free agency class next year. But, you know, as far as the college kids go, it looks really, really bad. So you got to take that into consideration.
Sure.
I haven't heard anyone mention that. You know, I haven't heard anybody say 2019 quarterback class looks awful.
Well, we've said on this show, I'm sure that they've taken a look at what's available in 2019 as far as the draft. And that, by the way, is subject to change between now and then too, isn't it?
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, and Donald, just I want to, you know, just a real quick comment about yesterday, about your comments on Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, have you had lunch with Bill Polian recently? I'm missing what you guys are seeing. He's short, he's 6'3", you brought up points about durability and his frame. I get that, but do you see how many games he started at Louisville? He started 3 seasons, 12 games, 13 games, 13 games. And this is a kid that had the ball in his hands all the time, whether he was passing it and taking hits in the pocket or whether he was running. And he does stick in the pocket. And he's going to be better. He'll win more games in the NFL than Tyrod Taylor will at the end of their career. Have a good day.
That's a good statement, I guess. Bold statement.
It's bold. It's a hot take.
It's a bold statement. It's a hot take. And no, I haven't had lunch with Bill Polian. All I'm saying is
– I had coffee with him. Does that count a couple weeks ago?
I know the kid. Yeah, he's made some throws from the pocket. Yeah, definitely. But he's also made a lot of plays with his feet. He's taken off. Now, maybe because he's had to, maybe because his offensive line is not that good out there at Louisville. You could say that. I've saw some games where he's really had to run for his life. But I think when these teams look at a guy like Lamar Jackson, and this is all I'm saying, when they look at a guy like Lamar Jackson, do they feel like he can scan an entire defense before taking off and sit in the pocket and make throws, like late in the down throws type of thing? We have on Greg Cosell, he always talks about Tom Brady has gotten so much better over his career of just stepping up, stepping to the side, making a throw, like late in the down where – you know, the play is not there right away, but he can't take off. But he's still standing in the pocket and waiting for guys, and boom, they come open. Nick Foles did it in the Super Bowl, late in the down, just stepping up, one little slight step to the right, and he makes that play because he's actually reading the entire field. And I know that GMs, coaches, and ownership want quarterbacks that can do that.
Yeah.
It's exciting to see a guy run around. Yeah, it's definitely exciting. But you also have the fact that they might miss a lot of plays because they've now taken off to run. That's all I was saying.
There's a lot of Lamar Jackson fans.
I'm telling you, people want they want Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I've seen a lot of tweets on it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Lamar Jackson fans.
I haven't really, you know, I've yet to dive into the video on him. I will. He's down on my list, though, fifth, maybe.
I'm not against Lamar Jackson at all. I think the kid is a dynamic athlete. I'm just going based on how I feel like teams look at these quarterbacks. These guys who are mobile, they really need to know if you can scan a defense,
yeah,
if you can go through your progression, stay in the pocket and make throws. And
yeah,
you're seeing it a lot more and more. Every year as you see these mobile kids come out and they don't end up panning out because they just want to take – they might have a good season in their first year, but then when the teams catch up to what they're doing, then it's like it's nothing that they can do. And they have to be forced to now scan the field and read the entire defense.
There's a call from Gary on a cell phone. Go ahead, Gary. We're talking quarterbacks, I guess, today.
How y'all doing?
Good. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, I'm with you, Donald. I don't think Lamar is going to be a good pro. I like the kid. I thought he was a heck of a college quarterback, but not a pro quarterback.
Where are you right now?
Solve this problem, free agency. I would try to trade for Nick Foles, a 2 and a 3, not our first two. And then we can take the first two, get a defensive lineman, maybe a linebacker. That's the dream scenario for me.
You think you can get Foles with a second and a third rounder?
Maybe a second, third, maybe two, threes. I don't know. But I don't want to trade the first two.
Because, I mean, there's been a lot of – well, even Polian, who's been in the news all week, what did he say? A couple of number ones it would take to get Foles.
Yeah,
I think that's
I think
a little
it would.
Bit.
I think,
I don't know, and you've pointed it out, the Eagles might not be of a mind to trade Foles at all until they're absolutely certain that Carson Wentz is ready to come back.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No.
It doesn't make sense. You can trade him halfway through the season and still get something from him, especially if you feel like he's going to start the season and still play well for you. Then at that point, you can still trade him, and teams will still give you some draft picks for next year's draft for Nick Foles. But why would you give him up right now? I don't care what teams are offering you. Why would you give him up right now, not knowing what Carson Wentz or if he'll be ready?
I don't get it. All right, we're going to break. We're going to come back. We do eventually want to get to playmakers on offense, and maybe that's the way to go. The central question here is solving the Bills' personnel problems, the personnel holes that they have. What's the first priority in free agency as opposed to the draft? Give us a call. We got lines open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Donald looks good today, doesn't he? If you're watching on our MSG feed,
I try sometimes.
You look good. You just, it's different. It's like, are you making a statement?
No, you know, I like to switch it up every now and then. You know, I wore a suit last week.
Yeah. And, yeah, that got a lot of attention. Now, if you're not watching, if you're listening on the radio, Donald has a short sleeve black T-shirt, a serious chain around your neck.
Oh, yeah.
And is there any.
This is stainless steel, by the way.
Okay.
It wasn't expensive.
And a vest, like a gray vest.
Yeah, it's like a grayish, bluish denim type of look. Black jeans.
What statement are you making here?
And combat boots.
Combat boots. Yeah.
No statement. You know, sometimes.
Are you sure?
Last night, I was like, you know what? I have a bunch of different vests like this, and I was like, I want to put on a vest. I haven't put one on in a little while.
Yeah.
And so I put one on.
You got to go somewhere. You can't just come and do the show. You gotta.
Well, the issue is that I'm going home later on.
Oh, okay. So you're running out of clothes?
No, definitely. I don't think I'll ever run out of clothes, but. Yeah, no, I'm going home, so I'm going to actually end up taking this stuff off and putting on some sweats. We were just talking about not wearing sweats, but yeah, I'm going to be taking this stuff off. I just wanted to look good for the show today.
You look good. If you're watching on MSG, I'm sure you can see it. Donald Jones, John Murphy here till 3. Coming up, I neglected to mention former NFL agent Joel Corey is going to join us at 2 o'clock to talk about some of these free agency issues and what players are worth. In the meantime, I want to hear from you about free agency versus the draft and which personnel needs would the Bills be better suited to address in free agency. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Whenever we open up the phone calls, we always wind up talking about
quarterbacks.
Let's do it again. Here is Brian in Buffalo. Go ahead, Brian. You're on the air.
Hey, I just have a quick little idea.
Yeah.
So I feel like we'd be able to get some good value, maybe like a mid-round pick.
Brian, did we lose you? Brian had a good idea.
Brian let us down.
Brian, what happened to your good idea? Well, call us back. Here is Marcellus calling from his car phone. Go ahead, Marcellus. You're on the air with us.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
Good.
If I was a Bills general manager, this is what I would do and piss the whole NFL off.
Okay.
I would get Colin Kaepernick and then build around him and let him and Tyrod battle it out.
Hmm.
He's fresh. He would ask for a lot of money because he wants to get back into the NFL and prove something.
Yeah. You think Colin Kaepernick could help the Bills get better?
Yeah, I do, because think about it. He hasn't played in about, what, 2 or 3 years, so he's fresh. He hasn't been hit. And then you could have him and Tyrod battle it out with Peterman in training camp. But he's a Super Bowl quarterback.
He played in Super Bowl. I don't know that he would improve the quarterback position, and this is all of the off-field baggage aside. I don't think he's an upgrade from Tyrod Taylor, quite frankly. Donald, do you have any thoughts on that?
Off-field baggage, he wants to play football.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's...
I guarantee you, if he was to come in and start winning, all the off-field baggage would be forgot because winning cures everything.
I agree. I don't think he'll come in and start winning. I don't know if he can do that for any team, really.
I don't think he's ever going to play again in this league. I've said that before. There's too many free agent quarterbacks. There are too many draft picks out there. I just don't see Colin Kaepernick playing in this league again.
Let's go to Nick in Rochester. Go ahead, Nick. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I wanted a just quick question on Tyrod Taylor. One, what do you think the odds are that we're keeping him? Two, if we don't, what do you think we can get for him? Realistically, whether it's
you mean of a trade? Nick, you saying if you actually sign him and then or pick up his option and then trade him?
Sure. How what are the likely scenarios with Taylor? I mean, how would it play out? And what kind of value could we get for him?
Right. I mean, the likely scenarios. It's kind of hard to say that they don't pick him up, which is likely, or they do pick up that option. And I mean, there are three different things. You don't pick him up to pick up the option. You either pick up the option to keep him, or you pick up the option to trade him. And in terms of value that you'll get for him, I see right now somewhere in the range of 3, 4, 5, somewhere in that range. In terms of if you trade Tyrod away, somebody will give you a fourth-round pick or something like that.
I bet if they can get a third-rounder, they do it right away, don't you?
Oh,
think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A third-rounder. Mm-hmm. And I do think, Nick, that they would probably prefer to trade him. You asked about the odds of him being back. I think the odds are less than 50-50, maybe, you know, 20%, 25% chance that Tyrod is here. Do you think that's too pessimistic?
No, I think that's about right.
And I just don't think he's going to be here. I think they have signaled that last November. And so I think the preferred option for the Bills would be to get something for him, you know, before they have to put that money down, what is it, March 16th, you know, to get a trade. Third rounder, I think they'd take it right away.
You know,
Fourth rounder, I think they'd probably look at it.
The hard part is, and maybe they'll know this before they even pick up the option. Maybe they'll talk to some teams and say, look, we're thinking about doing this. Would you trade for Tyrod Taylor? And if a team says, yeah, we'll do that, we'll give you this, then they'll pick up the option. But if they don't have a team that's actually saying we'll take on Tyrod Taylor for whatever it is, it's hard for them to say, okay, we're going to pick up that option and take a gamble if you don't want to keep him.
Right.
Just take a gamble on picking up the option and we'll trade him, because you might not get any trade partners at that point, you know. So I think they'd have to know that a team would take Tyrod Taylor on if you picked up that option, and the contract. The Tyrod Taylor contract.
Tyrod had a chance last year and a look around the league last year, and apparently, I mean, based on what happened, there wasn't a whole lot of interest, at least for him, to be a starting quarterback. So probably when teams look at Tyrod Taylor in this quarterback, you know, this glut of quarterbacks, free agents and draft picks, they're probably looking at him as a potential backup, a number two somewhere.
I would think so, yeah.
And what's that worth to you? Third round? Oof. That's a lot.
That's
fourth,
a lot.
Fifth, sixth, more likely, I would think.
That's what I'm thinking, somewhere four, five, six. I mean, you can't look at – I think with so many free agents out there, even bridge quarterbacks that we're talking about, so many of those guys, even when you get down to Matt Moore and those types of guys, you could at least say, well, at least Matt Moore can come in here and win us some games right now. Even who was the quarterback out in, for the Jets? Can't think of his
McCown,
name. Yeah, McCown. You could say, well, Josh McCown can come in here and win some games right now. Tyrod Taylor, you could say, well, yeah, he's not going to turn the ball over, but I think most of the teams will say, yeah, he's going to be a backup. We're going to draft one, and we'll take Tyrod Taylor on as a backup.
Yeah, and that's part of the picture for the Bills too. You know, what can they get, if anything, for Tyrod Taylor? As I said, I think their preferred course would be to get something in a trade. And as I said, 20-25% chance that he's back, maybe not even that high. We're not just talking quarterbacks today. When we come back, we're going to talk more about, you know, how the Bills address their personnel needs and which is important to address in free agency, which starts first, or the draft. We're going to look at some of the wide receivers and talk to you about some of that when we come back for another hour. We got a long way to go, 2 hours. John Murphy and Donald Jones coming to you from One Bills Drive. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive today. Around the NFL, with the free agency 3 weeks away, we are 1 week away from the NFL Scouting Combine. Our show will be there next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. John Murphy and Donald Jones from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Carolina Panthers have taken the interim tag off the title for general manager Marty Herney. They announced that they named him GM on a full-time basis. He'd been interim GM since they fired Dave Gettleman back in July. Herney previously was the Panthers GM from 2002 through 2012. Last night, the Miami Dolphins decided to use their non-exclusive franchise tag on wide receiver Jarvis Landry. The first eight teams could use their franchise or transition tags. Landry made $894,000 last season. The franchise tag this season for wide receivers expected to be $16.2 million. Trevor Siemian likely to be on the trading block, according to a word in Denver. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport says Siemian is expected to be available through a trade as the Broncos plan to aggressively overhaul their quarterback room. Kicker Adam Vinatieri working on a one-year contract extension with the Indianapolis Colts. The deal could be done by tomorrow. He is 45 years old. He scored at least 58 points in every season of his career, except for one season. He's only 58 points shy of passing Morton Anderson for top spot on the NFL's all-time scoring list. And Colts quarterback Andrew Luck says the thought of having a second surgery on his right shoulder is out of the picture. He continues his rehab on his surgically repaired right shoulder. He did not attend a town hall event held by the Colts yesterday, but he did a pre-recorded video interview in which he said there will be no more surgery. Sabres back on the ice for practice today. They fly out for a two-game road trip that will take them to Detroit tomorrow and Washington on Saturday. College basketball tonight, big game at Niagara from the Metro Atlantic Conference. It's Canisius with its 19 wins at Niagara with its 18 wins. It is the 183rd meeting all time. St. Bonaventure home tonight against Duquesne, 7 o'clock at the Riley Center. That is the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. Welcome to Hour 2. Hour 3, next hour, Joel Corey, longtime NFL agent who now writes about the business of the NFL. He'll be joining us coming up at 2 o'clock. In the meantime, we talk about free agency, our Twitter poll. Let's revisit that. You know the Bills' needs, right? We've talked about it at length. We'll talk more about it today. Which position groups should they focus on in free agency as opposed to the draft? What need should the Bills address in free agency rather than the draft? On Twitter, 40% of you say quarterback. Please let me know who you see in the free agent quarterback pool that you think the Bills should be going after. 36% of you say they need defensive front seven help. That's where I am. 22% of you say wide receiver. We'll talk about that in a minute. 3% say somebody else. Let us know what you think. You think you're one of the 39% that think the Bills should address the quarterback position in free agency? Who are you looking at? 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Does that surprise you, Donald, that people talk about quarterback in free agency rather than the draft? Who are they thinking of?
I don't know if people are reading the entire question through. Does that sound bad?
You mean that eight-word sentence, they can't get to the end of it? What does that
right.
say?
Because if you're – the only person you could be thinking of is Kirk Cousins. You can't even say A.J. McCarron because he hasn't done enough. Kirk Cousins at least has produced and been a starter for full seasons, you know, and thrown for over 4,000 yards in multiple seasons, gotten his team to the playoffs. A.J. McCarron hasn't done anything really yet.
Right.
You're really looking at him based on potential. So Kirk Cousins is the only one that you can say, yeah, I'd rather have Kirk Cousins than a draft pick. Hmm. And that's basically what you're saying, that you'd rather have one of these quarterbacks than a draft pick. Is that what you'd rather have at this point? Because you can't say that any of these guys, except Kirk Cousins, could be a franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. And I think when you're looking for a franchise quarterback, you're looking for a guy who could be there consistently, like consistent every single year for the next 10 years. And I don't think you can say that about any of these free agents.
Including Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Let's know what you think. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Squeeze out a few of these calls. We will get to wide receivers. I promise, Donald. I know you're getting tired of quarterback talk. John, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm actually looking at wide receivers right now trying to get
John in West Seneca. Go ahead, John. You're on the air with us.
Tired of the quarterback talk in the draft. I let them stay where they're at. There's a bunch available out there that are absolutely no worse than Tyrod has ever been, probably better. He gives 110%, but he's not the answer, and it's obvious. So you can't, again, try and bank everything to get this quarterback, and if they do miss on it, there's so many other needs that they have.
I agree.
You get tired and you see these polls, and I listen to you guys a lot, and I see it on TV and different things. You know what? A lot of people don't realize, like you're saying, they don't see the big picture. You know, like you said, Cousins. Donald, you said it. Cousins is the only possible answer. But now when you see what that price tag is on him, these people are going to go, like, out of your mind? You're going to pay that for one guy?
Right.
You know, and they're not going to the average fan is not going to understand that.
Right.
Just think, let them stay where they're at and address the needs. They got some other needs also.
Yeah.
They can't stop the run. A team that can truly run, they can't stop it.
And, you know, John, your initial point about all of these quarterbacks in the draft are better than Tyrod. I think we got to take Tyrod out of the equation. I really do. Other than the fact you'd like to get more production out of the quarterback spot than they have from Tyrod Taylor. But I'm coming around to the realization that I don't think for the Bills, anyway, for the decision makers here, it's going to be, well, is this an upgrade? Or is this, do we keep Tyrod or this guy? Do we keep Tyrod or draft this guy? Do we keep Tyrod or get this free agent? I don't think that's the way the decision makers here are approaching it, Donald. I think moreover, it's probably along the lines of how do we get better?
Yeah.
I don't think Tyrod's in the equation here. I just don't get that sense.
I don't get that sense either.
So I also have one more point again, and I'll get off and listen to what you say.
Okay.
You know, when they and again, they started Peterman. They start him against the Chargers, two of the best defensive ends in all of football there is. Now, granted, he threw a lot of interceptions. I get that. Then right away you hear after that, oh, he, you know, he's no good, he's not ready, he's this and that. I get all of that, okay? Now, the other side of that is the quarterback that went to the 49ers, Garoppolo, if people look at his stats, his touchdowns, yeah, he hasn't lost and all that. How many interceptions did he throw? Now, he's not interception-free either. I think he threw 5 or 7 interceptions, you know, since he went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm just throwing that out. I'm not saying Peterman is the answer. But I do think that I think he's been sold short by some of the media people, the writers and so forth. And again, if he's given it, I think he would do an adequate job or better per se over a long haul. I don't think he's, you know, again, who knows if he's the answer or not. Right. Nobody ever thought that Brady was going to be the answer.
Right. You know, John, I'll say this, you know, a lot of people, and this is really just the world we live in. I need to be satisfied right now type of thing. If I don't perform right now, I stink type of thing. When you have two schmucks like John and I sitting up here talking about it. I mean, this is it happens all across the country, especially in the media. When a kid does not play well, everybody just, oh, he's done. You know, he doesn't play well in one game. But I don't think that the coaches and GMs look at that the same way. They look at the entire big picture. They look at the film. And they'll say, as we sit up here sometimes, and we'll say, even in that game, all of those throws weren't his fault.
No.
You know, maybe he could have stepped up in the pocket. Maybe he could have done this. Maybe he could have done that. And that's where he can get better. But they put him in there at that point in the season for a reason because they felt like he was ready to go.
Right.
And, yeah, it backfired on them because they were playing a very good defensive line. This offensive line couldn't handle it at that point. But I don't think that they've just turned the page on Nathan Peterman. I think he's going to have a lot to say once we get into training camp.
I mean, they invested a draft pick in him. As Donald has pointed out, for months they invested that start in him on a team that was, what, 5-4 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He got another start later in the year under adverse conditions, the snowstorm against Indianapolis. You know, and they know more. I mean, fans may have forgotten the circumstances of that rough first half at Los Angeles, but the decision-makers here know. They know that first pass went off Pat DeMarco's hands into the arms of the Chargers. They know that Bosa and who was it, Ingram on the other side were just crushing them. And,
yeah.
You know, the Bills couldn't handle them. They know what happened there. Speaking of Bosa, I'm watching last night watching video of Sam Darnold watching the Cotton Bowl, USC versus Ohio State. The young Bosa at Ohio State.
Oh, he's a beast.
Oh, my goodness. I had to stop what I was looking at and go back and look at him. Now, he's got another year at Ohio State. I think it's Nick Bosa.
I don't know his first name. I think it's Nick. I remember watching him.
Defensive
end,
number 97.
First rounder. He is a beast.
You know how sometimes they always say you're watching video of one guy and somebody else jumps out?
Yes.
He was that guy for me last night around 11 o'clock at night.
Yes.
I was like, that's Bosa? I mean, he was unbelievable. And he's got at least one more year left at Ohio State.
I think he
has
one more at least before he's eligible to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to believe if he has another season like he just did this year, he's going to be gone. That kid is a problem.
Yeah.
I watched him play in a couple games, and I'm like, man, this dude. And I've had a chance to talk to Marlon Kerner, who went to Ohio State, and he just watches Ohio State. And he's like, yeah, that dude is going to be a first-rounder.
He's unbelievable. First-rounder. And he ruined Darnold in that game, the Cotton Bowl game. A call here from Clarence in Buffalo. Hello, Clarence. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. How you doing today?
Good.
First, I'd like to tell Donald that I wish him well, him and his family well.
Thank you.
Of things that he is going to endeavor in the rest of his life, I guess.
Oh, thank you. You still see me around, though, Clarence.
You and John have been perfect for each other.
We have been.
Thank you.
Been good for each other.
Been a good marriage.
And when
let's go on a divorce now.
And that's
one of the things I was going to talk about was the draft, but I'm so tired of talking about quarterbacks.
So are we.
That I just want to say I want to hear about what free agents in the wide receiver core would be a good fit for the Buffalo Bills.
I like what you're going with, Clarence. We're going to do that for you right now. We've been looking for a way to get off quarterbacks for a second, Donald. We've been doing this for the last couple of weeks, what the Bills have, mm-hmm. what they need as we approach personnel season, as we approach the free agency in 3 weeks, and the draft, of course, in a couple of months. What we have, what we need. Let's talk about wide receivers and tight ends. Let's talk about what the Bills have at the wide receiver and their free agents. You know, the free agents, they've got some interesting names that are going to be out there at wide receiver, Donald. Foremost, Jordan Matthews, who they acquired in that trade for Ronald Darby back in August last year. Deontay Thompson, going to be a free agent, a guy who got some significant minutes. Brandon Tate, who's been the primary return man. Jeremy Butler. Those are the Bills' free agents of that group. And tight ends included on this list, too. Nick O'Leary, exclusive rights. Logan Thomas, exclusive rights. You would think they'll be okay with those two. But of that group, Jordan Matthews, to me, is the most intriguing. What will he need to come back to the Buffalo Bills in terms of money? You don't think that they're going to be ready to spend a ton of money on him. And, of course, his injury history last year. And, well, the guy was a gamer, too. I mean, he tried to play, Donald, but just couldn't stay healthy right off his first practice. That's something to watch when free agency opens. You know, is there a market for Jordan Matthews elsewhere in the league, and what are the Bills willing to play? I know they like his approach. And I was impressed by Jordan Matthews. I'll never forget. I was thinking about this the other day. In Atlanta, October 1st, Sunday morning game day, right? We're in the hotel mm-hmm. getting ready to jump on the bus to go over to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This is like 8:39 in the morning. Jordan Matthews riding down the elevator on game day with his tablet, yeah. watching video.
Yeah.
I mean, hours before kickoff, I thought, that's pretty interesting. I've never seen anybody that close to kickoff still, you know, diving into the video the way Jordan Matthews was. I think that says a lot about his approach and the way he treats his job, and I think that probably goes a long way when Sean McDermott and the personnel staff evaluate, you know, how much they want to pay to keep him around. What do you think?
I think Jordan Matthews is a guy who, yeah, he got hurt a few times this year, ended up on IR, had to get surgery. But I think ultimately we know how Coach McDermott is and Brandon Bean. We know how they are. We know how they really value leadership in their locker room. And I think Jordan Matthews was a very good leader in that locker room. He brought some personality to the team that I think they like. And then on the field, he was kind of in a situation where your quarterback wasn't throwing the ball that much. You weren't using him that much. So he wasn't catching that many passes, even in games that he was playing in. But some of the catches that he made were big-time catches for this team that helped them win some key games, you know, like the Falcons game, like yeah. the early Jets game. And I think ultimately they will try to get him back. Now, they're going to let him obviously hit the free agent market, and I don't think his value is going to be that high right now because of the injuries. And because of that, I think he's going to end up in, you know, week two or something like that of free agency, or at least late in week one of free agency, where at that point you start getting to that point, or you start getting later, teams don't have to pay you as much because your tier one free agents are already off the board. And at that point, I think the Bills will try to get in and do something with him. I think he's a guy that you would like to keep around. Deontay Thompson, I think, is another guy that you would like to keep around. He made some big plays for this team this year. And the biggest thing about Deontay is that he plays special teams. I think that's very important for them, the fact that they know he can come in and make plays, and the fact that he can play gunner, he can run down and make tackles for you. That is huge for them, so I think they might try to keep him as well. But I think just those two. Brandon Tate, I think they would move on from. With his age, they probably want to get a little more dynamic. And he's a good returner, but a little more dynamic at the return position. So they'll probably try to get younger and faster at that position, and so they'll probably move on from Brandon.
Jordan Matthews, they got at a pretty good rate last year, $1.2 million, you know, on the salary cap. Brandon Tate, a little bit more than a million. Deontay Thompson was close to, you know, veteran minimum, $775,000. They'll have to find an answer at the return specialist if Brandon Tate's not coming back, right? They'll have to have somebody else. I think he was capable. I don't think he had his best year as a returner last year. But I do think over a couple of years he's been a pretty solid return man. But they'll have to find somebody else, Donald, which yeah. you can do. There's no question you can do it.
Yeah, you can find. I mean, I watched a kid at now obviously this is Division III, but this kid had something in his career like 16, 17 returns for touchdown, you know, and he's crazy fast, right? So you can find returners, really all over the place. You really can. These kids that are dynamic, that are fast, crazy, lightning speed. You just got to be sure that he's always going to catch the ball. Brandon Tate has been a guy who, yeah, he picks up good yards for you. He's been a very solid returner. Ultimately, you do like some dynamic plays, though. You like to be able to score at that position, and Brandon Tate hasn't provided that for this team.
Right.
So I think they would want to get a little more dynamic at that position.
So, again, as far as the free agents.
And cheaper.
Yeah, cheaper, yeah, at a million. Yeah, as far as the free agents for the Bills, when you look at the list of who their own free agents are at wide receiver, tight end, you think Jordan Matthews and Brandon Tate will be top priority for this team?
Jordan Matthews and Deontay Thompson.
Oh, Deontay Thompson, I'm right. Yeah.
They would be the top priorities in terms of if they wanted to keep receivers here, they would be the two that they would go after. But when you look outside of here.
I want to get let me do this before we get to outside. The receivers they have under contract, and this all seems like a manageable group. Kelvin Benjamin, obviously, you know, is he the number one? He's 1 or 1A, obviously. Kelvin Benjamin, $8.5 million, and he is under contract coming back. Zay Jones, obviously, on his rookie deal, going to be affordable. You'd think he's coming back. Andre Holmes is an interesting question, Donald. $1.75 million on the cap. You know, decent production, nothing great. Brandon Riley, Malachi Dupree, those are the wide receivers. We'll get to the tight ends in a moment. Andre Holmes, I think they'll have some discussions about whether to bring him back at that price. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. They're going to talk about him for sure if they like him enough to bring him back. Now, he plays special teams for them as well, and that's key. But they'll probably look at it and say, well, can we get cheaper? You know, for
right.
a guy that's primarily a special teams guy, and that's going to be a good question if they bring him back. Brandon Riley, I think he's a guy that he's going to be around, at least for camp, to see you know, if he improves. Malachi Dupree, not really sure how they feel on him.
On Andre Holmes, part of it will be money. It always is. I also think part of it will be trying to get the right mix of type of receivers, right? So if you got Kelvin Benjamin coming back, we think you will. Obviously, Zay Jones, Riley Dupree, who knows? Most likely Riley will be back. And, you know, if they want to sign Deontay Thompson and if they want to bring back Jordan Matthews, Andre Holmes sort of is too much like those other guys, right? I mean, I think what's missing out of that group is a dynamic playmaker.
Right.
And Andre Holmes is not really a dynamic playmaker.
He's not that dynamic playmaker. And I think they want a speed guy, you know. So one of those guys is going to be the odd man out. Maybe two will be the odd man out. Maybe they want to get two speed type of receivers on this team. I think Andre Holmes is a guy that they're seriously going to consider or at least talk about if we want to bring him back or not.
Yeah, it'll be in discussion. Now, let's get to your point about wide receivers who might be out there and what might interest the Buffalo Bills. There are names, there are some big names that are going to count for some big money. Upcoming NFL free agents, 3 weeks away. You know, Mike Wallace, scheduled to hit the free agent market as an unrestricted free agent from Baltimore. Sammy Watkins, we talked about him. Some people wondered if they bring him back and whether they'll, you know, the Rams might slap a tag on him. Paul Richardson, Marquise Lee, who I find intriguing, although you wonder the money will probably be pretty up there for Marquise Lee from Jacksonville. Dante Moncrief, Danny Amendola, probably not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Anybody on the list of potentially available unrestricted free agents attract your interest, Donald?
Well, you look at Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee. I mean, those guys have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, Allen Robinson is, you know, he had the ACL this past year.
Right.
But a couple of years ago, he caught 80 passes for 1,400 yards. So you know that you know he can produce. He's only, what,
24? So he's going into his
second
contract.
Yeah, he's turning 25, yeah.
Whoever signs him is going to be rolling the dice a little bit with his ACL.
With the ACL. So
but he's a pretty talented player.
You got to make sure that he's healthy. You know, you go on these websites and they start playing like ads and stuff.
I mean, we're looking through the list of wide receivers. I don't know how they get better.
I don't see. Let's just say this, because I've gotten some tweets on this. Josh Gordon, you can cross off the list. That dude is a very good player, but he just doesn't fit in character wise to what they want here. So I just don't see him. I don't even think they're going to look his way. Terrell Pryor. No, I don't see them going that way. They have the same thing in Kelvin Benjamin. Dante Moncrief, I think, is interesting. He hasn't, because of T.Y. Hilton, you know, he hasn't really had a chance to truly flourish out there. And I think he could be a guy that they would look at to see if, you know, they want to bring here. Even Paul Richardson, another guy who hasn't had a chance to truly,
right,
truly
get into his second year. I just looked up I was looking at Richardson from Seattle. SpotTrack has him at $6.3 million, which is kind of like Robert Woods' money,
mm-hmm,
which is okay. I mean,
yeah,
I think the Bills can probably come up with that if they like the guy enough.
I mean, because right now you're not you at least have Kelvin Benjamin coming up, so you got to think about that if you want to keep Kelvin Benjamin or not. But right now it's not like you're paying any money into the wide receiver room.
Right.
I mean, you got Kelvin Benjamin, you got Zay Jones on a rookie deal. So you're not paying any money into that room, right? So you can afford to spend a little bit of money at that position. And Paul Richardson could be a guy that you could spend some money at. And then you go down the list. You got, like, Eric Decker. I don't think so. Bruce Ellington could be a guy that you might want to bring in here.
What about Marquise Lee at Jacksonville? SpotTrack's projected value, $7.5 million, which is a little bit more than Robert Woods. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a little bit better than Robert Woods, potentially. And he's kind of a dynamic playmaker, right? I mean,
he
might be the kind of a missing component, Marquise Lee, right? From
it could
what
be.
They don't have. He's not the big possession type guy. I've always been kind of a fan of Marquise Lee.
You know who I've been a fan of? John Brown from the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I've been a fan of
his.
He's a free agent.
Ooh, I like him a lot.
And he's a guy that you talk about getting down the field.
Yeah.
That dude can get down the field. You know, John Brown is a guy that I try to go after him. I don't know how much money you'd have to pay him.
He made $700,000 last year, first deal.
Yeah. And you're going to have to pay him
27 years of age.
But I think you could pay him something like $6 million a year or something like that, because he's dynamic. He's made a lot of plays out there in Arizona. I like John Brown.
I do, too. That'd be a great signing.
What?
Like that a lot.
Yeah.
Receivers, that's who we're talking about, what the Bills have, what they need. Tight ends. What do they have under contract? They have Charles Clay. They have Kari Lee. They have Keith Trowbridge under contract. They have Nick O'Leary as an exclusive rights free agent, probably not going anywhere. Logan Thomas, we'll see about that. But the tight ends, Clay, Lee, and Trowbridge.
Just getting back to the
you want to go back to receivers? Go
just
ahead.
For 1 second, because yep. I got this tweet about Rod Streeter. What's the deal with Rod Streeter? Didn't they pick him back up?
Didn't they sign him to a futures contract?
Right.
Yeah, a month or so ago.
Yeah, right. So he's still.
I think he's under contract.
He's under contract, right? Yeah. So, I mean, he could be a guy that I know they liked him, at least last year. If he comes in and has a great spring and then a great training camp, you might have him around. And he was making plays for you. I just wanted to throw him out there.
Yeah. Tight ends. Is there anything to be done with Charles Clay? What do you think? His contract I'm talking about.
Ooh, with his contract. See, he produced this year. He was a big
– He's produced every year, really.
Yeah, he really
right around
has.
50 catches a year every year.
Yeah. I think that they might try to do something with his contract. It really depends on, number one, his knee. He's had that knee every year. This year he was able to really play through a lot of it. Yeah, he played through it. So I don't know if they would say we need you to take a pay cut, or – I don't see them doing an extension. I think if they approach him, it's either going to be about taking a pay cut or just cutting him.
$9 million cap hit for Charles Clay as of right now. He'd be the fourth highest paid player on the roster. Productive, super productive. I think you'd be hard pressed to call him a dynamic performer, but mm-hmm. very productive, you know, and he chips in and run blocking too. I think he's a pretty good player, pretty solid player. A lot of money, and they knew that when they signed him away, then signed him to that contract as a restricted free agent from Miami, that they'd be overpaying him. They have overpaid him now for a couple of years. Maybe there's an opportunity to restructure, but I think they'd like to keep him around, don't you?
I'd have to believe that they'd like to keep him around just because he's been productive. He's been consistent every year. Even with the injuries, he's still catching right around 50 catches, and he's shown that he can catch stops. He can catch wide receiver screens. He can catch the ball down the field. He's really been consistent for this team. Another wide receiver, though, outside of here that I would think about is Tyler Gabriel from the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's
kind of gets lost down there in all that receiving talent.
Exactly. You know, he's really been their slot guy, but he's fast. He's definitely fast. He could be a guy that they could really use here. I think I like, out of all of the names that we talked about, I like Tyler Gabriel. I like John Brown really the most.
I like John Brown a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Tight ends, who might be available? We talked about the Bills' exclusive rights guys. Who might be out there on the market at tight end? There's some interesting names, big names. Jimmy Graham, now at age 31, makes a ton of money out in Seattle, made a ton of money. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Trey Burton at Philadelphia. Austin Seferian Jenkins, Tyler Eifert, Cameron Brate, restricted free agent. Antonio Gates isn't going anywhere at age 37. Nobody on this list, really, or any list of the tight ends that, you know, I find that intriguing. Donald Lee Smith, former Bill, is going to be available out in Oakland. Zach Miller from the Bears, 33 years of age. He'll be an unrestricted free agent. I do believe that Clay is their guy. I'm just wondering if Clay is their guy at that price.
Yeah, and that's a big question, if he's a guy at that price. The one guy that I like on the list that we actually have up for the people on the MSG side is Austin Seferian Jenkins. Now, I don't know what his price is going to be, and I think the Jets will want to keep him. They might pay him some money to keep him, because he was pretty good for them last year. As if you remember, he was in the big controversial yep. catch with against the Patriots, where the Jets really could have won that game early on in the season. He's a good player, and if you didn't have Charles Clay here, he could be a young player that you could bring in here. That because he's young, right?
Yeah, he's only 25, which is
yeah,
so feels like he's been around longer than that.
Right.
His calculated market value, Austin Seferian Jenkins, according to SpotTrack, $4.1 million per year.
Right.
Now, you don't want that and Charles Clay.
No.
But if you don't have Clay, if for whatever reason you want to move on from Clay, Seferian Jenkins would be cost about, what, half as much? It'd be pretty productive.
And right, exactly. Pretty productive, can get down the field for you. And he's a guy, and I think this is something that's important when you look at these free agents. He's a guy that obviously the Bills will know. You played him twice. So you know what you've seen on film out of this guy. You've watched him. And when these coaches and GMs are watching the film of the game that they just played, or they're studying the team that they're about to play, they look at these guys like, man, this dude is all right. You know, and they put that, let's check that box. He's going to be a free agent next mm-hmm. year. He could be a guy that we go after. So I like Austin Seferian Jenkins.
I think we agree the Bills need to get better at wide receiver, maybe just one or two additions. Seems like when you look at the field of free agents that we just went through, John Brown, obviously intriguing to you and me. And who was your second guy that you liked a lot?
Tyler Gabriel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it seems to me that they might be better suited looking into the draft for a wide receiver, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For a downfield dynamic playmaker.
At least, because I think you need to go both. I think you need to get, and this is why I said I think that they would like to get two speed type of guys here, because at least Tyler Gabriel, John Brown, those types of guys that played in the league, you know that they've been consistent for the most part. It's so hard with receivers coming into this league. It's just one of those positions that it might not translate into the NFL, at least right away. It might be a developmental type of thing, just like Zay Jones had a tough year this year after coming off some great college seasons. You know, it just doesn't work out the same way. They got to figure out how to get off press coverage, which they don't typically have to play against in college. I mean, there's a lot of learning in that position. So I think when you talk about the wide receiver position, you need to address it in free agency and the draft.
All right. What we have, what we need, wide receivers, tight ends today. Tomorrow we'll talk about running backs, what the Bills have. We know what they have. What do they need? Probably need a backup. We'll talk about that briefly tomorrow. And then Friday we'll wrap up the series by talking about quarterbacks. Well, what about the free agency versus the draft? What needs do the Bills have that they should address in free agency? That's our topic on the table. We'll revisit the Twitter poll and take more phone calls from you when we come back. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones halfway through, coming up at 2. Joel Corey, former NFL agent. We'll talk with him about some of these free agent issues. What do you think? You got free agency coming up 3 weeks from today. Free agency officially opens, a new league year. You got the draft about 2 months away. So starting with free agency first, if you're the Bills, setting your priorities, knowing what their needs are, what needs should they address in free agency as opposed to the draft? That's our Twitter poll. It's been up for a little while now. Want to hear it from you. What needs should the Bills address in free agency rather than the NFL draft? 39% of you say quarterback. 36% of you say help for the defense on the front seven. 22% of you say wide receiver. 3% say something else. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Have you been watching Twitter responses, Donald? Anything good coming out of that? On that particular topic, or are people just insulting you again?
I mean, people just insult me.
That's what they do.
I love it.
Here's Tim calling from Cheektowaga on the phone line. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hey, actually, it's Tom. But
I'm sorry, Tom.
Okay, that's no problem. Good afternoon. I'd like to echo Clarence's thoughts about Donald there. Donald, really enjoy you on the show and wish you all the best. And hopefully we'll hear from you from time to time. And I love the fact the ex-player take on some of the things. It kind of makes it, you know, you kind of add a nice flavor to it. As an everyday listener, I hear the callers, and a lot of callers are afraid to trade the picks we have in the first two rounds, for example, to take a quarterback because of the risk. And it being in a, we all know it's a quarterback-driven league, and the good quarterbacks come most of the time high in the draft. But a lot of the callers like to say, well, let her fill positions. Let's not forget that just because it's not a quarterback doesn't mean those picks are a sure hit either. You know, we don't have to think too far past Troop and Quanjo and Maben to know that just staying pat and drafting someone to fill one of the other needs isn't going to be a big help. And, Donald, my question for you, receiver and a defensive end, I think free agency is where the Bills should probably look. But as our passing game has its weaknesses, how does that affect a potential free agent from, like, looking at us as a possible landing spot? And I'll hang up and listen, and thank you, guys.
Okay. Good question.
Well, that was a great question. I think that depends on, be honest with you, Tyrod Taylor. Because you're looking at a total different system, right? And free agents will know that. Their agents will tell them, well, they got a new coach, all of that stuff. But if Tyrod Taylor is a quarterback, it's something that they might look twice at. Because
in a positive way or negative
way? In a negative way.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, okay, Tyrod Taylor's the quarterback. He hasn't been one to necessarily throw the ball all over the barn. Or the yard, or however you want to say it. He hasn't been one to really throw the ball into certain windows. He hasn't been one to light up the stat sheets in terms of throwing, passing the ball, right? So if you're a receiver, do I really want to go there? Now, if the team is offering you crazy money, you know you're going to be the number one guy, and you know that they're going to focus on you, which some teams do, then maybe you take it. But I think that decision for any receiver – or tight end that's looking to come in here. Tight end that's looking to come in here is going to look at who's the quarterback, and is will I get the ball? Because Tyrod Taylor's a quarterback that might they might say I don't know if I'm going to get the ball there, and that's just what it comes down to.
I mean, for free agents, the calculation is going to be I think very similar to the way it had to be for Brian Daboll. Who's your quarterback?
Yeah.
You know, I'll come. Yeah, I'd like to play. I'd like to play with you. I'd like to coach with you. Who's your quarterback? Right,
who's
that's number one question.
And it's a tough position for a free agent, and it's a tough sell for a free agent, especially if Tyrod Taylor is here. For a free agent, wide receiver or tight end, you're going to look at that. If Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback, you're going to look at that and say, I don't know if I want to do that. And I think Robert Woods looked at that, not that he wasn't, you know, like friends with Tyrod Taylor or anything, but he knew or he felt that if Sammy Watkins was here, Tyrod Taylor was going to go to Sammy Watkins majority of the time, and he wanted the ball. And that's why even if the Bills would have offered him the same contract, he probably would have left because he wanted to be able to get the ball. All receivers want the ball. It's just the nature of us.
You still belong to that fraternity, don't you? Hey, our Twitter poll, it's an interesting question. I want to read a couple of Twitter responses. Our question, what need should the Bills address in free agency as opposed to the draft? Nick Blake tweets in, quarterback is the answer. Buffalo is crazy for not going to get Cousins. When was the last time the Bills had a 4,000-yard passing quarterback? Get Cousins and use both first-round selections to better this team. Stop the BS about building up this team. Done that for 17 years, doesn't work. Okay, that's one side.
Yeah,
Listen to this. Jay Lawson tweets in this. The Bills need to use top five picks to fill defensive tackle, outside linebacker, cornerback, offensive line, running back, number two. Generate more dead money. We already lead the league. Re-sign Brown, Gaines, and a free agent defensive tackle. We ended the drought last year. Why not build it and progress? Thoughts? So there you go. I mean, some people say quarterback, it's nothing else. Other people get a look at the roster and say, we got a lot of needs here. I'm more in that category.
You think if we talk about quarterbacks enough that we'll get enough people tired of hearing about quarterbacks, we'll get more people saying, you know what, I'm tired of this. Just fill out the rest of the roster. Maybe you could change some people's thoughts.
I don't know if that'll ever happen. I guess what we're trying to do, and, you know, I'm saying what I believe. You're saying what you believe. I guess I kind of want people to, yes, the Bills need a quarterback. Yes, they have not had a franchise quarterback since Kelly retired. Yes. But think about what lies ahead of him here. You know, maybe this isn't the year. Maybe this isn't the group. Are you desperate for a quarterback? Yes, but do you ignore all of your other needs because of that desperation? To the point where you trade away picks to move up to get a guy that you may or may not have reservations about? Rosen, Darnold?
Right.
I don't know. And if I wouldn't do it.
If you trade everything away and don't get – and the last caller was saying, you know, it's not a sure thing if you stay put that if you get a defensive tackle, any of those guys will pan out. I get that too.
Yeah.
It's not a sure thing on any of them.
No.
But if you stay put, at least you didn't trade away your draft picks. At least you got more. You still got your draft picks behind those guys, right? So you still have a better shot at getting and hitting on some of those guys. If you trade them away, you have no shot at hitting on any of the rest of those guys because you don't have the draft picks left. Maybe the quarterback will hit. And there have been instances where a team will draft a quarterback that they feel like, all right, this is our franchise guy, but they're not able to put anything else around that person, and that person can't flourish.
Yeah.
So,
call here from John in Webster, New York. Go ahead, John, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, guys. I guess I just I would say we start by re-signing Donald Jones.
There you go.
Is there no chance for the family to relocate to Buffalo?
There's no chance.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, you love Buffalo for so long, the family's not with it?
Man, there's a lot more to just the family coming up here. There's some family members that are getting up there in age, you know, that I want to be around. It's family is important to me. Let's just say that.
Right. And so it is to us too. So we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But with that the last tweet that we just read, I think that it does start with the defense and E.J. Gaines and Preston Brown, and I think whatever it takes to get those guys back is the way that we should go. But I just wanted to touch on, do you guys think that any of Tyrod's woes are due to the fact that the wide receiver core just has been ever-changing and not healthy? When Sammy Watkins was healthy for a period of time, he was super productive.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Clay has been productive because he's been available.
Mm-hmm.
You think that, you know, availability has been an issue for Tyrod? I mean, obviously, you know, the elite quarterbacks, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, they make the players around them better, whoever you slot in to that, you know, wide receiver position. But is there something to be said that the guys just haven't been available or been healthy for him?
Yeah, John, that is a valid point, and we've heard people, you know, make that point all the time. For me, when I look at the film of Tyrod Taylor, there are just too many plays. And like, even if you have guys that hurt, right, and you're playing with a bunch of new guys, I totally understand that I don't trust these guys. But at the end of the day, me personally, if I'm Tyrod Taylor, I'm letting it rip. And if that guy doesn't catch it, that's on him. But everybody will see that I'm finding him, I'm finding this other guy over here who's open, and I'm hitting him right between the numbers, and these guys are just not making the plays for me. But if you're not the one that's making the throws, and we can see that there are too many guys that are running open down the field, there are too many times where you're late on throws, things like that, then it's hard to really make that argument all the time. At some point, you got to trust the guys that you're on the field with.
Yeah, John, it is a good point, and it's a point that if I were Tyrod Taylor or his agent, I would make. You know, as he looks for work, whether it's Buffalo or somewhere else, I would say, hey, look who I've had to work with. Look at my targets the last 3 years. But it's 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's 3 years, and he's, God bless him, he's been healthy and started most of the games over those 3 years. And there is a pattern, as Donald points out, of being late with throws, of not being able to find guys downfield, of not being able, you know, trying to force it into coverage a little bit. I told you, I've spent some time the last couple of weeks watching college video of some of these prospects, and even them in a totally different game, in a much slower game, much bigger windows.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, you see guys like Darnold in particular got my attention of just being stubborn, forcing the ball into tight coverages, tight windows. Sometimes he turns it over.
Yeah.
And you need that kind of, you know, approach, I think, at quarterback on a limited basis. You know, no, you don't want him spraying the ball all over, throwing interceptions. Of course not. But you need to force it into tight windows.
You do.
And Tyrod has, over 3 years, with, as you point out, John and Webster, you know, with the cast of characters that has changed on a pretty regular basis, has just not demonstrated that he's constitutionally set up to do that. Remember, you were here, Donald, David Lee, two quarterback coaches ago, sitting right over there, saying, basically admitting to us, I'm trying to get him to do that.
I'm trying to get him to throw it.
And even
Throw
David
Lee
leaves, and they get a new quarterback coach and a new offensive coordinator, and it still didn't happen last year.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, Tyrod Taylor is a dynamic playmaker. But at the end of the day, you in this league, you don't have receivers open that often, right? So you have to throw guys open, and that's just the quarterback position. And when you're not finding guys and you're not throwing guys open consistent enough and you're not making the plays, the big plays down in the red zone, making certain, you know, the tight end seam type of throws, when you're not doing that, it's hard to really say, well, you know, he has guys that are hurt. No, you make the throw. Make the throw. If they drop it, then it's on them, you know, and everybody in the stands, everybody who's watching on TV will at least say, well, he made the throw, but that guy dropped it. But at some point, as a quarterback, you have to trust the guys you're on the field with. I don't care if they're the guys that weren't there, like, you know, some new guys off the streets. You got to trust them. They're here in the NFL for a reason, right? So trust them, make the plays. And if not, which he hasn't done on a consistent enough basis, you find yourself at 31st and passing.
Yeah, which is where they were. We're going to break. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Live at One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Well, we've gone through wide receivers, tight ends, and tomorrow we'll talk about running backs. Donald, you're getting out of here, though, tomorrow. You won't be here, right? Steve Tasker in for you tomorrow?
Steve Tasker's in for me tomorrow and Friday.
All right.
So, you know, looking forward to getting home.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Let's take a couple of phone calls here. These are interesting. I like these. I like our calls today, by the way. I did mention that to you.
Very well thought
People
out.
Are thinking about stuff here. So, you know, as much as we say it's all quarterback talk, I think we're kind of getting people to –
That's what I'm talking about.
Open up a little bit. Tony in North Buffalo. Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Murph. How are you today?
Great, Tony. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I wanted to touch upon running back. Right now, from what I'm seeing, Deion Lewis is going to be available. I'm a big fan. He's a versatile back. He can return kicks. He can line up in the slot. I think McCoy, you know, it's not a question of if he'll get hurt. It's usually a question of when, and it'll be good. He'll be a solid backup running back. Secondly, I want to drop a name. Star Latulier from Carolina, the defensive tackle. Probably familiar with McDermott. I think it'd be a good pickup as well. There's where I would like to see two signings take place this offseason.
Okay. Deion Lewis, free agent. There was some speculation that he might even get tagged by New England. I thought that was – not credible, but I don't know if I want to invest any more money at running back. Can I say that, Donald? I want a good, capable backup, better than they had last year, but I don't want to invest a whole lot of Bills money in a backup running back. Do you? And Shady might get hurt. You're right. He might. They've been lucky with him so far for a couple of years.
Yeah, they have. But he's getting up there. So, you know, at some point they're definitely going to address that position. But I think I'd rather draft one. I think I'd rather have a young, I guess – you can never say healthy, but at least a young running back to come in here that can really do a lot of different things for you, just like Shady can do a lot of different things for you, and really he's the heir apparent to Shady.
A young, cheap running
back. Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, and I'm not even saying draft one early, because you can get running backs in the fourth, fifth round that can come in here and really play for you. Corey Clemens is a prime example of that for the Eagles.
Here's a call from Les in Buffalo. Go ahead, Les. Welcome. Hi. Les, Buffalo.
Les,
we know you're there because we can hear you, but we can't wait anymore, Les. Here's Milton in Buffalo. Hi, Milton.
Les, you let us down.
Les
hey,
is more.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Milton.
Les is more.
Yeah, I got three things real quick.
All right.
First, y'all, I just want to elaborate on what y'all was talking about, Tyrod. You know what I mean? Great player. You know, he's motivated, and, you know, he's a hard worker, but you really do need another quarterback because he makes all the wide receivers – kind of look bad. Like, hear me out, though, John. Benjamin was at Carolina, shining. You know what I'm saying? Come to Buffalo, it slows down a little. Seems like that happens with all the receivers with Tyrod. Hmm. But they go elsewhere and shine, all of them, like all three of them. And have you noticed how our team was in, like, the players that left, they was, like, all in a championship and stuff. You know what I mean?
No. I know what you're trying to say, but I don't think it's true.
Yeah, I mean, are you just talking receivers, Milton?
Oh, no, I'm talking about, like, that was my second thing, because I was trying to talk real quick, you know what I mean, that most of our players was, like, in the championships and the Super Bowl.
No, not really.
I mean, there are a good some players, definitely, that went to the Super Bowl. Most notably, Chris Hogan and Stephon Gilmore. I think I know where you're going with that. But I think ultimately, people have said that a lot here in the past. The Bills are a farm team to the NFL and all of that stuff.
That's not true.
I think that's gonna change here. They're gonna draft some guys. I think their approach to everything is gonna be different here soon. They're gonna draft their guys, and they want to build through the draft and win games with those guys.
Anything else? Is that it, Milton?
No, I got one more thing.
Go ahead.
As far as center, remember when Groy came in and he did an excellent job? And
yes.
On TV, like, they trying to find, like, a new center and stuff, and we already got one.
Right. No, I think Groy's the guy. I don't know if, you know, center is high on their list of offseason personnel needs here. I think they've invested in Ryan Groy a year ago. Got limited action last year, but I would anticipate that Ryan Groy, I'm guessing he sits at the top of the depth chart as the starting center right now. Wouldn't you think that?
I would think that. You know, we were talking, somebody brought up, one of our callers brought up the running back position, and we started to say, I'd rather you draft one. When you look at the names in free agency right now, obviously Deion Lewis, Carlos Hyde, Isaiah Crowell, Rex Burkhead from the Patriots, Doug Martin, who was just released, Jerick McKinnon, who's a young one, 26, guys that you might want to look at. Jeremy Hill from the Bengals is going to be a free agent. I mean, those are really Thomas Rawls from the Seahawks. But how much will you be paying these guys? These are free agents. And maybe these guys have the understanding, knowing that they're not going to break the bank at the running back position. I don't think that running backs break the bank unless you are a top running back. I mean, you just look at LeGarrette Blount, a guy who has produced for the Patriots, ended up getting, what, $1 million a year or something like that, $2 million this past year, and he's back on the free agent market. He hasn't been able to stick with one team, you know. So I think they're looking at the running back position in that way. So maybe you can get one of these guys for cheap for a backup running back position.
Yeah. Hey, sorry to cough, Donald.
It's all good.
Keep saying that. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to dive into some of these quarterback issues, some of these free agency issues with a qualified expert on that matter. Joel Corey, former NFL player agent, does work for CBSSports.com and for Football Post. Joel Corey joins us when we return to talk about contracts, the salary cap, free agency, all of that when we come back. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. Free agency is underway in the National Football League. There are a couple of moves. Late yesterday, the Dolphins used the franchise tag on wide receiver Jarvis Landry. Non-exclusive franchise tag. On the first day, teams could use their tags. That means that it would be a $16.2 million payday for Jarvis Landry unless they make another deal or trade him away. Landry made $894,000 last year. The tag will hold him in place while they try to make progress on a long-term deal. Landry is free to sign an offer sheet with another team should Miami choose not to match an offer sheet for him. Around the NFL, Marty Herney has been named now the general manager of the Carolina Panthers. He had held the job on a part-time interim basis since July when Dave Gettleman was fired. The Panthers chose Herney over Bills assistant college scouting director Lake Dawson, among others, for the job. Trevor Siemian, scheduled to be on the trade block for the Denver Broncos, the quarterback who was their starter at the start of last year. Ian Rappaport says that the Broncos are going to entertain offers as they are expected to make a big push for free agent quarterback Kirk Cousins. Anna Vinatieri, close to a one-year deal, a new deal with the Indianapolis Colts. He's 45 years old. Vinatieri is only 58 points short of passing Morton Anderson as the NFL's all-time leading scorer. Speaking of the Colts, quarterback Andrew Luck says the thought of another surgery on his right shoulder is not in the cards. He continues his rehab on a surgically repaired right shoulder. The Colts have undergone an almost complete overhaul over the last year since Luck has been out. Buffalo Sabres' Jake McCabe is scheduled to undergo surgery on an injured shoulder. The procedure has an estimated recovery time of 4 to 6 months, so he is on injured reserve the rest of the year. Sabres practice today, then fly out for the start of a two-game road trip. They play the Red Wings in Detroit tomorrow, and the Capitals on the road on Saturday, back home Sunday evening against Boston. College basketball, a couple of games tonight involving the locals. Canisius at Niagara, the final regular season road game of the season for Canisius. And St. Bonaventure home tonight, 7 o'clock against Duquesne at the Riley Center. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio talking about free agency. Hey, Donald, the franchise tag for Jarvis Landry. What do you make of that? What do you think of that? What do you think Miami has in mind?
I was shocked that they did that.
Were you?
Because there were rumors of them actually trading him.
Could still happen.
Which, yeah, could definitely still happen. But that's a big number. He's at like $16 million,
right? $16.2 million.
And I understand that he's produced a lot for them. He also brings a lot in terms of his mouth on and off the field. I was just shocked that they were willing to do that. I felt like they could find somebody that could do what he could do for cheaper, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Really the only significant move in the first day of tags starting yesterday. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline to provide more insight into that move and what might come, we have Joel Corey, longtime NFL agent. He writes for Football Post, CBSSports.com. Joel, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones up here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us here today. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
What did you make of the Jarvis Landry franchise tag for the Dolphins? What do you think they have in mind?
Well, I didn't think there was any receiver that could be a free agent. That includes Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, and Allen Robinson that should have gotten franchise tag for over $16 million. Maybe this is a precursor to them trading him, but the problem is you can't trade a guy who has an unsigned tender, and he's already looking supposedly for Devontae Adams money. That's $14.5 million per year. If I'm going to pay that to a receiver, I want someone who can stretch the field. I don't want someone who's going to average less than 10 yards per reception. So all they've done is kind of strengthen his hand that he's thinking, I got $16 million in my pocket to play 1 year. So someone's going to have to give me a strong deal, either Miami. And then who's going to want to pay him that type of money and give up picks as well? So I'm not really sure what Miami's doing here.
Did Miami make a mistake, Joel? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because just like Joel is saying, we've seen these types of receivers, even in Victor Cruz. And I know when Victor Cruz got paid, the cap has gone up a lot more since then. But Victor Cruz ended up getting something like $6 million a year, right? And he's a slot guy. He wasn't a guy that you could say he could take the top off of a defense. Jarvis Landry is that type of guy. I was surprised that they, even on 1 year, gave him $16 million in franchising.
They can't be.
Yeah, they won't put a second franchise tag on him if he stays, because that'll be over $19 million. So
right.
He may take his $16
million,
catch
away
his 100 passes for no yards again, and walk into free agency next year.
That's an interesting move. Well, on the topic of franchise tags, now it takes us right into Kirk Cousins. He's had back-to-back franchise tag seasons. And you have written a post that says maybe a third franchise tag in the works for Kirk Cousins in Washington. Tell me about that, Joel.
Yeah, that wasn't me who first put that out. That was Adam Schechter right about Super Bowl time. Because I thought, okay, you're trading for Alex Smith. He's going to be free. The only reason why I think they would franchise him a third time to try to recoup additional compensation is because Bruce Allen is the GM. This is a guy that traded for Jake Plummer about 10 years ago, said he was going to retire, wasn't going to play there. And because you take the contractual rights in a trade, they stepped into Denver's shoes. And he filed a grievance asking for $7 million in bonus money to be repaid since he was going to retire and settled for $3.5 million. So I can see Bruce Allen putting the tag on and trying to get additional compensation. But there's language in the CBA which says that when you put a franchise tag on someone, you're either supposed to have an intention of signing him to a long-term deal or him playing that upcoming season on his tender, which for Cousins is almost $34.5 million. You trade for Alex Smith, you have no intention of having Kirk Cousins around long or short term. So we will see potentially how an arbitrator would rule, because I guarantee you Cousins and the NFLPA will file a grievance if there's a third franchise tag.
You know, Joel, if they were able to do that, and let's just say they did it, they franchised them for a third time, what's that number going to be?
Almost $34.5 million.
Right. So $34.5 million, which is going to count against any team's cap. At that point, I mean, if you're another team around the league, do you look at that and just say, you know what, you can stay in Washington. I don't even want you at that number.
Yeah, it's one thing to make Cousins one of the highest paid players. It's another thing to make him one of the highest paid players and give up significant compensation to get him. The thing is, the Redskins have about $50 million in cap room, and right now Alex Smith has $17 million of a salary for 2018. I'm assuming when the new extension kicks in is reworked, his cap number is going to be less than $17 million. But if you have Cousins on a franchise tender at $34.5 million, assuming his grievance didn't fail, and Alex Smith coming in on a high number, you don't have any room to participate in free agency. Because you can't trade the unsigned player, so he could sit there and go, you know what, I'm not going to cooperate. I'm going to not sign it, have this take up all your cap room until you rescind my tender. Or he could sign the tender, it becomes fully guaranteed, tell every team, I'm not signing a long-term deal in any circumstance. If you trade for me, I'm going to be a free agent in 2019. Who's going to trade for him if he puts that out there?
Joe, you talked about how you think you're not sure what the Dolphins have done. When you look at Cousins and Washington the last few years, has Washington misplayed this, or have they just done what they needed to do to keep a viable starting level quarterback under contract for a couple of years?
They've written the playbook on how not to sign a good quarterback. He's not great. He's good. His agent, Mike McCartney, proposed a deal when he got the first franchise tag for something like $57, $58 million over 3 years, which would take him through 2018. I'm not sure if the third year would have been fully guaranteed or just the first two. But still, if you put a third franchise tag on him and he played, that's almost $78.5 million. You could have had him for less than $60 over 3 years. Plus, I think San Francisco watched this whole fiasco of Cousins and did the exact opposite with Jimmy Garoppolo. Five great games, they decided, you know what, we're going to break the bank for this guy. The Redskins, after he proved himself twice going into last offseason, really should have been the time for them to step up and pay him in a major way, and they never quite got there.
Paid him as a good, not great quarterback.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to get him to sign knowing he was going to have the $34.5 million franchise tag, you're going to have to make him the highest-paid player. You're paying for a quarterback. You're not paying for a guy to be elite. You're paying for him to be competent, because none of the guys who right now are the highest-paid quarterbacks ever won a playoff game. Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Matthew Stafford.
Which brings us to the Buffalo Bills. How do you think they've done the way they've handled Tyrod Taylor for a couple of years? And you know, we're talking about what's that?
That's my thing. Is that a possible blueprint in the way they've handled his contract?
Is that the better way to handle a quarterback who's good, not great? What do you think, Joel?
Well, I think this whole thing's been past year or so cleaning up everything Doug Whaley did. First, when you did the extension, you set yourselves up if you weren't. Why'd you do the extension in the first place if you weren't sure? Because then you're setting yourselves up for having to work out some sort of restructure, and now you're in that same position again. Where, why would he want to be there after you benched him, even if you wanted him to be the quarterback? And you benching him, that's a clear signal. He ain't the long-term answer. That $6 million third day of the league, your roster bonus, is really a drop-dead date. You've got to trade him before that is due. I don't see Buffalo giving a $6 million parting gift. And if he wants out in the worst way, he's not going to try to work with you, even if you wanted to restructure. Hopefully you can get some sort of mid-round pick for him from someone who's a quarterback-needy team, like maybe Denver, that had some interest in him back when Gary Kubiak was there. But you're going to need a quarterback either way.
Joe, you as a former agent, how do you think teams look at Tyrod Taylor? Do you think they look at him as a true starting quarterback or a backup?
Probably a low-end starter. That's the problem. You know, when that $6 million roster bonus is sitting out there, when teams think a guy's going to get cut, they usually don't offer anything good unless they absolutely want him, because they think they can get him for nothing once he's free. And sometimes the money would be the same as what's under the contract if you don't have to give any compensation and can sign him as a free agent. But nobody's thinking of Tyrod Taylor as a high-end starter.
So basically you're saying it's smarter for the Bills if they don't think that Tyrod Taylor is their guy to just go ahead and not pick up that option, because if they try to pick up that option, it might be hard for them to move him at that point.
Well, the thing is, why would you pay a guy a $6 million roster bonus if you have no intention for him to be there? Because that's $6 million of additional dead money on your cap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the important date, third day of the league year. If there's no trade by then, he's probably gone. If they pay the roster bonus, he's the quarterback in 2018.
With Joel Corey, former NFL scout, writes for National Football Post, CBSSports.com, talking about contract issues 3 weeks away from free agency. We talked a lot about Tyrod Taylor, but what do you think the solution at quarterback might be for the Buffalo Bills? We've kind of put this to our listeners today. Is there a free agent quarterback who can be had at a decent price who would kind of get the Bills through a year or two if they want to go out and draft a rookie and develop him? What do you think?
Well, you got the 21st and 22nd pick, so that's ammunition potentially to move up and get one of those guys who are going to go higher in the draft. If you're talking stopgap, you're going to have a rookie potentially waiting in the wings, maybe a Sam Bradford. Granted, he can't stay healthy, so that's a concern. But if he had stayed healthy after setting the NFL completion percentage record in 2016, you got to think he would have at least done what Case Keenum did. And if you had him another year removed from his knee problems, staying upright, he was going to be a $25 million per year quarterback or more. I somehow see that since coaches like to bring in former players or guys they're familiar with, in some capacity, you're probably going to have Derek Anderson on your roster as a backup quarterback.
You talking about Buffalo or just a team that?
Oh, Buffalo. Oh, because where'd McDermott come from? Carolina. He's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, he's liked a lot of things that have Carolina's name on him. You traded for a wide receiver that I'm not sure he's a number one receiver. So maybe you go out and sign Starlo Tulele as well.
Maybe. Well, that's a great point. Hey, Joe, where does A.J. McCarron fit in all of this? Is he going to break the bank? Just because he's available, you know, he got a lot of buzz once he became available. Where do you think he not ends up, but where do you think he gets paid?
Part of his problem is he hasn't played in a regular season game in 2 years. Mm-hmm. But when you did see him play, he looked like he flashed potential to be a pretty decent starting quarterback. That being said, you're probably looking at that Mike Glennon, Brock Osweiler range. The team is going to want to limit the guarantee to the Mike Glennon $18 million range as opposed to guaranteeing 2 years like Osweiler, which was $37 million. But you're probably talking 3-4-year deal, $15 to $18 million per year. And it looks like Cleveland actually messing up the paperwork on that trade. It worked out to their benefit because he would have won the grievance and been free, and they would have given up two picks. So to sign him, he'd had a ton of leverage at that point.
Joe, is there a year in recent memory, your memory, where there's been this much uncertainty and this much potential movement in terms of quarterbacks, both in free agency and in the draft class coming out? It seems like there's a million different threads that could be pulled, and once people start pulling on them, everything's going to kind of open up all over the league. Do you see it that way?
This is a highly unusual year from quarterbacks because you've got a pretty strong draft class. You also have an unusually high number of potential quality quarterbacks from the veteran standpoint and guys who have actually played themselves into being starters, because no one was contemplating Case Keenum being a potential starter this time last year. He was on the free agent market for a month before anyone signed him. You don't see a guy like Cousins potentially ever hit the open market because there are extensions. Teddy Bridgewater may or may not be free depending upon whether his contract tolls. Sam Bradford is going to be free as well. So it's a very strong year. Typically, the demand greatly exceeds supply, but this may be the first year that it's actually even.
We are 1 day now into tag season and a couple of weeks left in that. The Jarvis Landry tag came through, but do you see any other tags before in the next couple of weeks? Who are the likely candidates to be tagged around the NFL, would you think?
Well, Dallas already said they're putting a tag on DeMarcus Lawrence.
Right.
And that's a no-brainer because pass rushers are paid a premium. That's going to be about $17.3 million, depending upon where the cap comes in. Le'Veon Bell, I suspect, gets the second franchise tag at a shade over $14.5 million. The interesting one to me is going to be whether Carolina puts a franchise tag on Andrew Norwell. There isn't a distinction between the various offensive line positions. It's straight just one tag for all offensive linemen, so it's composed basically of left tackle numbers. That's going to be over $14 million, so that would be kind of a windfall for Norwell, and you haven't had a guard get a franchise tag since 2011 with Logan Mankins. I can't believe that people are talking about putting a franchise tag on Sammy Watkins. You guys didn't want him on a fifth-year option for about $13.25 million, and he didn't do enough to me to warrant a franchise tag over $16
million. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about Sammy yesterday and how with that trade last August, if that trade didn't exist, the Bills would be right in that position now, right, trying to figure out what to do, tag him, extend him, let him go. I mean, they kind of got out of that by making that trade, and I think that was one of the – people didn't believe us, Donald. We talked about this yesterday. When the trade was made, one of the big issues was signability, and what's that going to look like next year? Well, here it is, and now it's the Rams' problem.
He was their third leading receiver, so
yeah.
To me, that's not a guy that is remotely close to anything at $16 million. To me, he screams one-year prove-it deal because he hadn't been healthy when he was with you guys. He wasn't very productive. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods were the guys that caught more passes and had more receiving yards. I know he's a top pick, supposed to be a great talent, but at some time you got to produce.
Yeah. So 1 year, prove it at what number?
Well, he had Terrell Pryor sign a 1 year for $6 million, could max out at $8 million. You had Alshon Jeffrey at 9.5 on a one that can max out at 14, probably somewhere between those two numbers.
All right. Hey, Joe, on another note, I wanted to ask you this. I know we talked to you last year out at the Combine, and you were talking about living out in Vegas and all of that stuff. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the stadium. Has the stadium, you know, the Raiders moving out to Vegas, have they broken ground on that stadium yet?
I think they just did. Most stadiums don't get completed on time. So I've always been skeptical about the Raiders being here in 2020. Hopefully everything goes smoothly there. But the city's really excited about it. We have a hockey team that's doing great for an expansion club. That team is hard to get a ticket, so I expect the Raiders are going to be the same. It's going to be a destination for the visiting team to come in, because if you're going to go see your team on the road, you're from a cold weather place, it's late in the year, you're probably going to make a weekend of it in Vegas.
Now, do you feel like, and we might have asked you this question in the past, there are going to be a lot of Raiders fans there in Vegas that actually live there in Vegas?
Oh, yeah, because the people here are Golden Knights fans now, so they're going to be quick converts. And plus, the Black Hole is about an hour flight away, so you're going to get people coming from Oakland. I don't think they're going to switch over and become Niners fans.
Hey, Joe, what do you think a successful team in Las Vegas, a Raiders team in Las Vegas, in terms of money, what role, what profile will they have in the NFL? Will they become one of the flagship franchises in the NFL once they're set up and operating in Las Vegas?
I don't know about that, but I know it's going to be much better financially for Mark Davis because the deal that he struck, because he's one of the more cash poor owners right now. It'll be interesting to see if they ever bring a Super Bowl here or bring the draft here to Las Vegas.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's really interesting how the league has done a complete 180 on the stance they used to have with Las Vegas, which to me was always kind of hypocritical when you've embraced fantasy football, which is a form of gambling.
Right.
But a Super Bowl in Vegas is probably one of the cities which is best equipped to handle a big event, because all the hotel rooms, you have huge fight weekends here, so it would be a natural from that standpoint. Plus, the parties you throw here would be a great week, because I don't know a lot of people who are all that excited to go to cold Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've had some people out there that week that were like, yo, this is ridiculous. But I feel like, you know, Vegas, and it's kind of like a rotation right now, but I feel like these new stadiums in Vegas and Los Angeles down in Atlanta are really going to seriously be in a rotation of Super Bowls and draft.
Oh, yeah, they probably should be. They probably should be. And speaking of places that probably never should add a Super Bowl, Jacksonville, because first time I ever went to Jacksonville, we represented Keenan McCardell and Jimmy Smith. I was like, this city has an NFL team? I'm like, wow.
Yeah, they had a team that was in the AFC Championship. Joel, 2 weeks until free agency opens up. Do you think there'll be big splashy signings, or do you think the league has sort of evolved that maybe free agency takes some time now?
you always see big splashy signings in the first 2-3 days of free agency. That's when it's a seller's market. Once that first wave ends, it becomes more of a buyer's market. You're going to see guys get outrageous deals in the first couple of days. I expect Andrew Norwell, if assuming he's not given a franchise tag, to become the highest paid guard in the league. Cousins, if he's free, he could be the first $30 million per year quarterback. So you're always going to see guys first couple of days of free agency get deals where some of them are going to be head scratching.
Well, we look forward to that, Joel. Maybe we'll talk to you again at that point.
Happy agents.
Yeah, hey, agents, guys like you. You'll be rolling in it. You'll love it. Thanks for this, Joel. We appreciate it.
Sure, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Joel Corey from at Football Post and at CBS Sports. He writes the agent's take at CBSSports.com. Former NFL agent. Joel joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio on a cloudy day in Orchard Park. 65 degrees last night or late yesterday and early this morning, and now it's like 30 degrees outside.
I mean, that's really – days like yesterday, they're upsetting. I'm not going to lie. They're upsetting because it's 65, 67 out, which feels great, but then it's raining, and you're like, can we just get some 65, 67 and sunny?
We've turned the corner. I don't know how many times I got to tell
you. I think we're going back.
No, we're not. We've turned the corner. We've talked a lot about free agency today. Free agency starts in 3 weeks. That's our Twitter poll if you'd like to weigh in on that. As you look at the Bills and consider their needs personnel-wise, what needs should they address in free agency before they get to the draft? Check it out on Twitter. Let us know what you think. At last count, about a little bit more than a third of you still said quarterback. 39% said the Bills should address quarterback in free agency rather than in the draft. I'd like you 39% to explain to me what you're thinking, who you're thinking of. 36% say front seven help. There you are. There's where the Bills can get better. 22% say wide receiver help in free agency. Donald had a couple of interesting ideas, Gabriel and John Brown from Arizona. Other 3%, give us a call. Line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550 if you have thoughts on that. The draft is coming up, Donald, and Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN is out with his second mock draft, 2018 NFL Mock Draft 2.0. Mel Kiper goes 1 through 32 the first round. Did his first one in January. His second one is out a week before the combine. He said, obviously, the combine testing, medicals will have something to do with these grades and the draft boards. He said there are no trades allowed in his projection. You've got the Raiders and 49ers at 9 and 10. That'll be settled at the combine. But he still has, for his second mock draft, he still has Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen, the first overall pick going to the Cleveland Browns. This is what Mel Kiper Jr. says. The only way I can see the Browns not ending up with a quarterback at number one is if they sign Kirk Cousins. He said Josh Allen had a strong week at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, improving every day. The NFL statistical comparison to make to Allen, Matthew Stafford. He's got Cleveland going Josh Allen first overall. The Wyoming quarterback with the first pick in the draft. I don't see it, Donald. No. I watch Josh Allen. I think there's no way he's not the best quarterback in this draft, and he's nowhere near the best player in this draft.
No, not at all. I'm telling you, I think I've said this before, he does this for clicks and likes. I'm telling you. Like, look, I understand if you put him up there before the Senior Bowl, then that's one thing. And I know it doesn't really change, and teams don't. Their opinions don't change on certain guys based on 1 week or one game. I get that. But there's no way that Mel Kiper has looked at any film. And I know he likes to go off of things that he or info that he might – intel that he might get from different scouts or whatever the case may be. There's no way that you have a lot of scouts telling you Josh Allen is going to go number one overall.
No.
It's no way. And it's no way that you can turn on the film of Josh Allen and feel like – somebody's going to take this kid number one overall.
No.
Maybe he's saying, yeah, the Cleveland Browns, they've been that bad at picking quarterbacks for years, so they're going to pick Josh Allen number one. That's the only thing I can think of right now, because there's no way that when I watch him, I feel like that's the number one pick right there. If they were going to do anything other than if they're going to take a quarterback, it's going to be Rosen or Darnold. And if they're not going to go quarterback at number one, I think it would be Saquon Barkley.
I watched Josh Allen for probably 1 hour last night, Donald, Wyoming quarterback. Watched him watch his game against Colorado State. Watched his game against Iowa. I watched the third game. He is inaccurate, like really inaccurate. It drives you crazy. He's got a big, strong arm. He's a big, strong guy. But so inaccurate, it becomes a problem. Now, if you're drafting him, I'm not even talking about drafting him number one overall. You have to be ready to invest years, probably, more than a year, in developing him, straightening out his mechanics, and trying to get him more accurate. It's hard to get a guy more accurate.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, think it'd be a big mistake.
There are certain things that players just have, right? Like, you can't teach a wide receiver how to catch in the NFL. Like, that's something that comes natural. Now, a guy might go in a slump and start to drop some passes, but it'll come back to him. You can't get to the NFL and say, all right, I'm going to teach you how to catch. No, you can't teach a quarterback how to be accurate.
No.
It's just
– just don't see it.
Right.
First rounder, probably. Somebody – I wouldn't want him. I really wouldn't for the Bills. But somebody will draft him in the first round. First overall, that's crazy. Mel Allen's picks, his most recent mock draft out today. Excuse me. Second overall pick, Giants. He's got Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State, going to the Giants. And he makes a good point here. If the Giants add Barkley to a group that includes Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and tight end Evan Engram, that would be rare skill position talent. No debate about that. That would be he's probably the best player in the draft, and that would be quite an offensive arsenal with Eli at the helm.
Yeah, with Eli at the helm. Let me tell you something. Eli, if you can't win games with all of those guys healthy and you're at the helm, then you need to be fired instantly because that's a lot of talent. Yeah. I mean – the wide receiver position, the tight end position, and the running back position, man, what? Y'all should be, and you got a good defense on the other side, y'all should be winning the entire thing.
Colts, he's got number three going with Bradley Chubb, the defensive end from NC State, the good pass rusher. Mm-hmm. Browns, again, at four. Minka Fitzpatrick, cornerback from Alabama. Here's where it gets interesting in Mel Kiper's draft. Here's where it could get interesting for the Bills. Fifth, Broncos, he's got Sam Darnold, the quarterback from USC. Here's why it could be interesting. Because if the Broncos, if the Broncos are going to make a big move for Kirk Cousins, then they sit there at five, knowing that there are quarterback-needy teams behind them, and maybe somebody would want to trade up. Maybe the Buffalo Bills would trade up. If the Bills want to send their 21st and 22nd pick in the first and maybe another pick down the line, they could probably get up there to five. And if they can get Sam Darnold, I would say, yes, go for it. I think that'd be a good pick, a good value pick, and a guy who I've got more work to do, but a guy who I think might be the best of the lot at this quarterback spot.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. If they could give up those two picks to move up to get Darnold, if he's still sitting there at that point. If this thing plays out like he's saying, and then they could trade up to get Darnold, you know, I'd be on board for that. It just depends on – because I know there are going to be other teams that are going to be offering a lot to get up there. Teams like the Cardinals, you know, who are not in the top 10 right now, who are like, we need a quarterback. Yeah. So it really just depends on how much they have to give up to get up there. But I could see that scenario playing out.
I would like that. Darnold, 22 turnovers last year. Obviously, that gets your attention. Some tough interceptions. He does appear to try to force the ball into coverage. Had the very rough game in the Cotton Bowl against USC. We talked about Bosa, how Ohio State's Bosa just terrorized them. Mm-hmm. I would love that move. He's got six, Mel Kiper, six, the Jets. He's got them going with Baker Mayfield, the quarterback from Oklahoma. We'll see about that. I've got more work to do on Baker Mayfield. And then as he moves down the draft, if the Bills don't, he's got Josh Rosen going 11th to the Miami Dolphins, which would be interesting. I'm going to look at more Dolphins video eventually. But down there where the Bills would draft 21 and 22, Mel Kiper, who didn't have any trades in his mock draft, his mock draft 2.0. 21st, he's got a corner from Central Florida, Mike Hughes. But he does mention, Mel Kiper writes, with back-to-back picks here, could the Bills try to package these and move up for a quarterback? Yeah, they could. He says it would take both picks and more to get into the top 10. As far as Mike Hughes, good punt return, good kick returner, three touchdown returns last year. And then at 22, he's got an offensive lineman, James Daniels, from Iowa. I don't know about that.
I think he's way off.
Do you? On both?
Yes.
Why?
Number one, he might not be off on Mike Hughes. They might draft a cornerback and feel like, all right, we got our two draft picks at cornerback. We got our safeties on the back end of this thing. The back end of this defense is locked up.
Yeah.
I don't see them taking a center or guard in the first round. And everybody keeps on saying that. There was a reason why you matched Ryan Groig's offer sheet last year to bring him back.
Right.
Now, if Ryan Groig is horrible once you get to training camp, then you could say, okay, somebody else will take his spot. I think Ryan Groig is the center moving forward, and I don't see them drafting one in the first round. It doesn't make sense business-wise. There's a reason why you matched that, and that was for the future.
Yeah, I agree. I think more likely would be Maurice Hurst, for example, the defensive tackle from Michigan.
You know, something on the defensive – on the defensive front, whether it's linebacker or defensive tackle, I think that that's where they would – if they were to stay put, it would probably be wide receiver, defensive tackle, linebacker, maybe a corner.
So it's Mel Kiper's view, and it's not locked in stone or anything, but just worth going over, kind of disagreeing with some of his picks, liking some of the other things he puts out there. Mel Kiper from ESPN with his mock draft 2.0. Let's take a couple of phone calls here. Let's go to Joe in Lancaster. Hi, Joe. Welcome. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Great program. First-time caller.
Thank you, Joe. I was up early
this morning, and I decided to get on the computer and do a little research. And with the Bills picks at 21 and 22, 53, 56, 96, 118. So I decided to dig around the last 10 years of quarterbacks and percentages. If you go top 10 quarterbacks, you have 14 out of 17 that made an impact in the NFL. That's 82.3%. If you go from 11 to the end of the second round, you have 6 out of 20 which made an impact, and that's 30%. So I did this with the thought that I was going to stay, or I'd like to see the Bills stay at 21 and 22 and get a quarterback there. And it's just really the odds are not there. With that being said, you're going to have to package one in your first two first-rounders, a second-rounder, maybe a fifth, and a player. And really, idealistically, you'd like to get into second through five, hopefully picking up the fifth. That way you're able to have your choice of players between Mayfield, Jackson, Rosen, Darnell. Hopefully it's Darnell. That's the guy I like. But, the importance of getting into that first round, actually into the top 10, is imperative for the Bills to do. And they need to do that. And I'm very conservative by nature. But, yeah, that's what they have to do. The question is
– hold on one second, Joe. How much – would you say they had the package to get up there, Joe?
I'm sorry?
Would you say that they would have the package to get up there?
Your two number ones, two. You have two fives. I'd throw that in there, and I'd throw in Glenn. And I would push it up there, and I tell you what, I'd go for Darnell, if that's my guy, or Rosen, whoever you want, whoever their drafting department is pretty good. But you got to get into that, really, in this draft. You have to get before Denver or right at Denver's spot, and you'll have the pick of the litter. You can't really, according to the numbers here, you get out of the top 15. It's a crapshoot.
But Joe, just an overall question, I guess a global question. Why do they have to do that this year? Why now?
The question should be, why didn't they do it last year? They had the 10th pick in the draft. They had the fifth-year option on the quarterback, and they gave it up for the 27th pick. They had it right there. They could have had Watson and Mahomes. That's what they should have done.
They
do have their choice of quarterbacks. It does look like a good quarterback lot coming out here. So this quarterback lot looks a little bit better than last year. So, but you're giving up. You were in that spot last year. I'm sort of disappointed that they didn't do it last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do it. They're going to have to do it this year because they have the ammo to do it, and you do have a little bit of a quarterback-heavy draft. You have to take care of it now. As for Tyrod, it's going to be problems in the locker room. You're going to have to – he's going to have to – God bless him. He's a great guy. So that's my thoughts.
Okay. I don't agree with your thoughts, but I hear what you – obviously, you put some thought into it.
He said two ones.
Yeah.
A two – and two fifths.
Yeah.
And Cordy Glenn.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Yeah. That's your draft to get Darnold or
Rosen.
Rosen. Do you have that strong conviction? Do the Bills, it doesn't matter what we think, I don't have that conviction. Do the Bills have that strong conviction on either one of those two? Just because you need them badly doesn't make those guys the answer.
Yes.
You know,
right.
I think people get kind of hung up on that. Maybe they should have done it last year. Maybe. You know, Deshaun Watson looked pretty good when he played. Mahomes, still an uncertain. It looks like he could be pretty good. But just because there's a desperate need for a quarterback doesn't make those guys the answer. I think people kind of get lost in that.
I'm telling you. And that's just a lot to give up.
Yeah.
That's a lot to give up. I mean, you gave up basically not the entire draft, but a lot of the draft where you have so many different holes on the team to fill. It just goes to show, I mean, people are like, look, give it all up.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Give it away and get the quarterback, and then we'll worry about the rest of the team next year.
Yeah.
And free agency or something like that, which I think is a little bit against how it seems like their philosophy works, which is build through the draft. Build the team through the draft. Build the team through the draft. Don't forget that. For anybody who's listening right now, they've said this over and over and over. They like to build the team, not just the quarterback position. They like to build the team through the draft and not through free agency. You add a couple of pieces in free agency, but you have to remember that when you talk about trading away the entire draft, because I just don't see that happening.
Hey, it's time now for NFL True or False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. True or false, Ryan Shazier will return from injury and become an all-pro performer. Did an interview. Ryan Shazier did his first one since that spinal injury early last December. Says he wants to play football again. Says he still wants to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Underwent spinal stabilization surgery December 6th after that tackle on Monday Night Football in Cincinnati. Shazier says all of his football goals are still in front of him. He is annoyed about the all-pro snub. He thinks he's the best linebacker out there. He wants to go back and play a little bit more. Ryan Shazier will return from injury and become an all-pro. True, false? I'm not going to say false. I hope he does. I hope he returns and plays again. I hope he's healthy and returns and plays. I'm going to say true just because I hope that that's the case. Yeah, how am I supposed to answer that question?
Yeah.
No, false. He's done. No, I'm not going to. Who wants to squash his dreams at this point?
I hope I'll go true. I hope
he goes. How could you go false? I'd be mad at you if you went false. I would. I'd say, Donald, what are you thinking? No, I'm not.
I want for him to be able to come back and be healthy and be an all-pro and all of that stuff. Now, realistically, if he's able to come back, you have to wonder, will he be himself? You know, when he's going in there to make hits and make big plays like you're used to seeing him do, will he be able to play and be himself? You know, will he be a little bit skittish? But I hope he can come back and be an all-pro. I really do. I wish him the best.
NFL, true or false? This one deals with quarterbacks. True or false? NFL quarterbacks make too much money. NFL paying quarterbacks too much money.
False.
False. You go ahead. You go first.
I mean, that's the number one, for me, it's the number one position in sports.
Yeah.
So they're supposed to make that type of money. When the team wins, they get the praise. When the team loses, they get the blame for it. And somebody else can drop the five passes, and the quarterback is still going to get blamed for it. The quarterback and the head coach, right? So, and the quarterbacks have to do so much in terms of being a franchise quarterback, so they're supposed to get paid a lot of money.
False. Yeah, they're supposed to get paid a lot. The money's there. The owners have it. Why wouldn't the quarterbacks get it? They're the key guys.
The money is definitely there.
I don't like these true or false questions.
You need to talk to our producers about this?
No. NFL true or false, the Cleveland Browns have the best ability to improve in 2018. A ranking that went up on USA Today, ranking each team's ability to improve based on the resources they have to spend. Mm-hmm. They've got the Cleveland Browns, the number one rank with cap space and draft picks. Mm-hmm. They've got the Buffalo Bills' eighth best chance to improve. But Cleveland has the best ability to improve. True, false? I'll say true. Will they? We'll see. I mean, they got a new guy pulling names off the board now, John Dorsey. Mm-hmm. They've got some of the remnants of their previous regime as far as, you know, the cap guys, the analytics guys. But the Cleveland Browns have the best ability to improve in 2018. I got true. What do you think?
I guess they have the best ability. I guess they got the best ability to improve with all of the capital that they have. Yeah. And we'll see who they end up landing at the quarterback position. That's been a huge question mark for them. But they got a lot of draft picks. Like you said, they got a new guy pulling names off the board, a new guy who's going to be calling those players, choosing those players. We'll see how he drafts, since he was the one that said the past regimes haven't been able to put a real football team together. We'll see if he can do that. But, yeah, I'll go true on that one.
An off-season exercise by USA Today, where they rank each team based on how much cap space they have and how much value they can expect to add in the draft. All those draft picks, those early draft picks for Cleveland and all that cap space puts them number one in the league. Sure, they've got the longest way to go, too.
Yeah.
You know, after winning nothing last year. But I do think they have the best chance. NFL, true or false, it is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Joe Corey on, former NFL agent, now writes for National Football Post and for CBSSports.com, the agent's take. Joe Corey, we asked him about Tyrod Taylor's future in Buffalo. Here's what he said.
Why would he want to be there after you benched him, even if you wanted him to be the quarterback, and you benching him? That's a clear signal. He ain't the long-term answer. That $6 million third day of the league year roster bonus is really a drop-dead date. You've got to trade him before that is due. I don't see Buffalo giving a $6 million parting gift. And if he wants out in the worst way, he's not going to try to work with you, even if you wanted to restructure. Hopefully you can get some sort of mid-round pick for him from someone who's a quarterback-needy team, like maybe Denver that had some interest in him back when Gary Kubiak was there. But you're going to need a quarterback either way.
Yeah, he's right. Either way you're going to. And I think he's right. Why would Tyrod, why would he be interested? We'll see how it plays out. I'm in doubts whether Tyrod Taylor's coming back. You've said that since November.
Yeah, my doubts are they're very strong in whether he would come back, why he would take a restructured deal, even if they approached him about that. You got benched twice by the same organization. I don't care if it's a different coach. You got benched twice by the same organization. I don't see him doing it, and I don't see them doing it.
Hey, our Twitter poll today as we approach free agency. We're 3 weeks away from free agency, about, 2 months away from the draft. On Twitter, we asked you, what need should the Bills address in free agency rather than the draft? And the final results, with about 4,500 votes in, 39% of you saying quarterback in free agency. Still haven't heard from anybody who that is. 36% say front seven help on defense. 22% say receiver, 3% say somebody else. That's what Twitter says. Let's hear what you have to say on the telephone lines. Let's go to Pete calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Go ahead, Pete. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Let's, first of all, let me say, John, I hope you're feeling a little better with your head cold.
A little bit better, yeah. Actually, I feel good. I just can't get rid of this cough. Thank you, though.
Yeah, I can hear that, literally.
Sorry.
Let's be honest, Tyrod Taylor is a class act guy, but he just cannot execute the American football forward pass, period. And let me ask you guys a question. Actually, let me give you guys a fact. Since 2003, with the exception of Joe Flacco, how many AFC quarterbacks have represented the AFC in the Super Bowl?
Two.
Negative. No, it's four. Four quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Except for Joe Flacco, since 2003, we have to get our next Jim Kelly. The way the draft stacks up now, we have ammunition to take that chance. If not, we're just going to blow it on a DB from Alabama or a cornerback. We have to get aggressive. We have to get greedy. We have to find our next quarterback, period.
What if that Jim Kelly, interrupt you here, Pete, because we're almost out of time. What if that Jim Kelly-type quarterback, franchise quarterback, is not in this draft if you don't believe he's in this draft? Do you still got to roll the dice and take that chance?
I'm saying that since Jim Kelly retired, and look where we've been. We've been nowhere with mediocre quarterbacks. You have to take a chance.
Do you? Do you have to take a chance if you don't have a firm conviction? I'm not sure about that.
No, absolutely, man. The most important position in all of sports, and we haven't had one of those guys since Jim Kelly, and look where we've been. We need an elite quarterback. We need to take a chance. We can't wait around and sit around and twiddle our thumbs. We need to go after that guy, and we got to get him.
Hey, let me ask you
if this. If he's not there, you can't, you know,
let me ask you this. I'm just going to hypothetically speak.
Got about a minute here.
Let's just, okay, hypothetically under a minute. let's just say those four quarterbacks, they get drafted. Let's just say the Bills trade up, right, to get one of those guys. And you got four guys that go off the board, and they are all terrible. And then you get these guys like Luke Falk, like Mike White, Mason Rudolph, that end up in the second round. Even Lamar Jackson end up in the second round that end up great quarterbacks. Then what? Everybody will be saying, you traded up, you drafted one of these kids when you could have taken one of those guys at 21, 22. And, you know, you're still wrong. And that's why we're saying, like, you there's hard to tell who's going to be a surefire starter, starting franchise quarterback in this league, right? So, I mean, you're rolling the dice. You're giving up a lot to move up when you might feel like, well, one of these guys that I can get at 21, 22, or even in the second round is the better quarterback.
Has a chance anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Donald, you're off for a couple of days. We'll see you next Monday here, right? Or maybe
Tuesday.
Not. Tuesday. Okay, Tuesday. We'll see you here next Tuesday. Steve Tasker will be in tomorrow. Peter King from Sports Illustrated joins us tomorrow at 1. Bill Barnwell from ESPN joins us tomorrow at 2. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.